using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Tuesday, the 10th of August, year of our Lord 2021, day 514 of America Held Hostage. Today we're going to focus on the Great Resistance. Folks, it is now or never. It should have happened a year ago. We have a moment now before we enter the new dark winter, before they go to the next level and approve these toxic vaccines. We're going to talk about what is happening and what needs to happen. Stay with us, and we'll have an interview with Dr. Lee Merritt in the third hour. Stay with us. I'm also going to call in climate theft, what this has really become. Let's call it what it is. It's climate theft. It's not a Green New Deal. It's a bad old deal, an old deal of communism, central planning and control. And so we're going to take a look at what this is because this all flows together. Again, you can look at the connection, and I've talked about this many times, between the false flag of 9/11 and this false flag of this last year, and how the two rolled out together as a pair. The dark winter simulation that was done 2 months before 9/11, the false flag that was done a week after with the anthrax attack, and then the model legislation that went out 2 months later. That was a pair. But they kept that, quietly preparing it, because that was the second hit, the bigger hit. And we had the Patriot Act and these other aspects putting in the police state, the surveillance state, and now this is escalating it significantly. And it was always the plan. But tied together with all of that, you look at the other tie-in with this, and that is the Agenda 21, the UN 2030 agenda, all of this great reset that is all intricately tied in with the climate details. For 50 years, 51 years actually, first Earth Day was in 1970, for 51 years, they have been planning how they would take everything from us, whether it is meat production, energy production, all the rest of this. How they would take away our homes, how they would force us out of the rural areas and into the cities where they can control and follow us. They've been working on that for over 50 years. The details are exactly the same. And so you cannot separate this from the climate theft. And now they're bringing that back in to help to lock down and to extend this great reset. So let's talk about the Great Resistance. You know, we had a lot of changes in Europe, certainly in France over the weekend. You had the Supreme Court in France rule that Macron's new rules, predominantly the vaccine passport, was okay. They struck down some of the aspects of it, but they said the vaccine passport is okay. And so it went into effect yesterday, and we're going to show you what that looks like. But first of all, as you look at the comments, I liked this comment that I saw on Twitter. One person who put it in, James Dellingpole, by the way, he's a writer. He says, there are no white hats. No one in this world, anyway, is going to ride to our rescue. If we want our world back, we're going to have to take it back. And Dellingpole writes for Breitbart in the UK. But that's right. It's up to you, folks. I've been saying this for how long? There's no Savior coming. All of this stuff about worshiping Trump and naming highways after him and pretending that he is still president, and we still have fake prophets, call themselves pastors, telling us that, oh, no, he is president, and he was actually signed in on March the 4th and so forth. I mean, this delusional distraction being sold by the QAnon people, by Alex Jones and the 4D Chess Stop the Steal people, all of this stuff, this is a distraction to keep you focused away from the real issue. And this is the real issue. As I said, we should have been doing this a year ago. But instead, we are worried and chasing our tails about the panic and the fear-mongering going on about the Wuhan biosafety lab. So you had, the mainstream media was telling everybody, oh, this is really bad, and jumped from bats and so forth. And other people were saying, oh, it looks like this is bioengineered, and that's even worse. To scare the conservatives who should have known better when they saw the rule of law and individual liberty being ground into the dust in a medical dictatorship. I called it that a year ago. I got attacked by Daily Beast and BuzzFeed for saying that. I was a paranoid conspiracy theorist to say the real problem were the actions that were being taken. And the real problem was going to be the vaccine. When will the climate vaccine be available? Said one individual, and that's basically where we're talking about. You know, why not? I mean, it's just as believable, isn't it, as the pandemic? I need to have a vaccine for the climate. Well, quite frankly, that's what it is. It is a climate vaccine because all the climate stuff focused on depopulation. You understand that, right? If you understand that they're pushing this to pregnant women, if you understand that this spike protein is accumulating in the reproductive organs of both men and women, but especially women, this is the climate vaccine. It is a depopulation push. It is a push to cripple us, to cut down our reproduction, so they can dominate us. That has always been the key thing. They understand that our strength is numbers, so they have to reduce our numbers. And we've been the silent majority for too long. We must speak out. So you have a UN special rapporteur, John Rapoport. No, he's not John Rapoport. This is Niels Melzer, working even for the UN. And he says, it looks like the authorities are viewing their own people as the enemy. Oh, really? I'm glad he realized that. I'm glad he's saying it, finally. He said, there's enough evidence for an official intervention on my part with the federal government. He said, something fundamentally is going wrong in all regions of the world as the authorities are apparently increasingly viewing their own people as the enemy. We are their enemy. I said this last year. I said, what do you do when you go to war with the people? First thing you do is economic sanctions in the 21st century. In previous centuries, what you would do is when we had city-states and we had castles and things, you would lay siege to the city or siege to the castle to try to cut off their material support. This whole thing that we've gone through this last year, these economic sanctions against us, and you can see the U.S. has continually done that every time it singles out somebody that it wants to go to war with. And again, that's what we've become. We've become the Nazis. Not just seeking out monsters abroad that we want to destroy, but finding places that we'd like to go to war. And we initiate that preemptively. And when we do that, we put in economic sanctions to cripple them. And that's what they did to us last year. You're not essential. We're going to direct the supplies and the economy from a central location. And we're going to bankrupt you as well with printing out trillions of dollars. It is absolutely unacceptable, said the UN rapporteur. He said, when police take action against defenseless demonstrators because of mere administrative offenses or civil disobedience with life-threatening violence. And so we see what happens in France and Italy. We've had mass protests this last weekend, which I did not cover yesterday, but I want to focus on that now because this is a key issue. France saw its largest protests yet again because of this health pass issue and because of the fact that it was green-lighted by the courts. Again, many of the other aspects of Macron's power grab were shut down, but not the essential one, which is the vaccine passport. And also it happened in Italy. Civil liberties are being infringed upon, as they pointed out. The protests come as European countries double down on efforts to get wide proportions of their populations vaccinated. They've gone to war with us. They're hell-bent on making sure that every single one of us gets their toxic protein spike genetic code injection. And I don't understand why there are so many people, even in the Republican wing, that are still clueless about this, that don't smell something really rotten about their obsession with the all-powerful Trump shot. And I see signs here that these people are putting up basically calling out the media on their lies, and I'll get into that in just a moment. But 237,000 people turned out nationwide in France. They said about 17,000 people turned out in Paris. Most of the focus, however, was in the south of France. About 10,000 to 20,000 people marched in Nice alone. And they said the more major scuffles broke out between protesters and police in Lyon, France's third largest city. Besides the huge march that was held in Paris, where the people were accompanied by massive police presence. That's it. You know, they put out the massive police presence. You better be good, right? They had another massive protest held in the 10th largest city, Lille, with footage from the scene showing the city flooded with a sea of disgruntled demonstrators. The latest round of protests, writes RT, which have rocked the country for the past few weeks, comes after France's top court deemed most of the controversial legislation package to be constitutional. The legislation, approved by the court on Thursday, went into effect yesterday on Monday. And let's take a quick look at what this looks like. It looks like Vichy France under the Nazis. Look at this. They've got just a couple of people eating at the cafe sidewalk. Your identity papers, please. Give me your big brother phone. Yeah, show me your phone. Show me your pass. Look at them walking around. They're the only people wearing the masks, these costumed thugs there. They're the only ones wearing the masks. They're loaded up with protective vests, firearms, truncheons, the rest of the stuff. And let me scan this here for you, because if you don't have the proper one, you can get some very, very steep fines. And starts out a couple of $100 for the first offense, and then it gets much, much higher after that. So the French Constitutional Court. So they have a constitutional court. Isn't that interesting? You know, we have an unconstitutional court. The Supreme Court is unconstitutional. But, you know, they basically declared themselves the arbiters of the Constitution with Marbury versus Madison. That was the key part of their power. And they really started using that heavily in the 20th century. And then towards the end of the 20th century, when they decided that they would put in Roe v. Wade, you know, will you let us demand that we kill babies? Yeah, that's right. We'll let you do that. Okay, that's the law of the land. And now we're the people who create the law of the land. We not only decide what the Constitution is, but we write law. Roe v. Wade. As I said, that's why Barrett says, oh, no, we're not going to touch Roe v. Wade. That's an established precedent. That's as important to them as Marbury versus Madison. So the French fraud court, call themselves a constitutional court, ruled that health pass and mandatory vaccination of health workers were constitutional amid nationwide protests. And I say this is a fraud. I don't know anything about the French Constitution, but let me tell you this. Anybody that's got a constitution, they're going to have something, in order to get it passed, they're going to have something in there that respects individual liberty. Even the Soviet Union and nations that lived under Marxism and socialism and communism, and you know, those are three synonyms for the same thing. But even the people who lived under that had a great constitution. They'll all tell you that. It's like, well, you look at our constitution, it's really good. It doesn't apply. And so all of the constitutions support individual liberty, or nobody would accept them. Nobody's going to accept a new constitution that says you have no rights, that everything is now subject to the state. We'll determine what health is. We'll set public health over private health in every regard. Nobody's going to sign on to that. So I'm telling you that their constitutional court is throwing out their constitution just like our constitutional court does. As one person who tweeted some of the pictures of France, said people are sitting on public benches instead of sitting at the tables for these cafes. Because evidently if you sit on a public bench and you eat, you're okay, right? But the gendarmes are going to come there and harass you and fine you if you're sitting at one of the tables for the cafe. This is the insanity. This is not science. This is not medicine. This is like the insanity of you will wear a mask to walk 5 feet. And then we'll leave you alone, and you have to wear a mask for the next hour if you want to while you're sitting here eating. However long you want to stay here, you have to wear a mask. And again, you know, first time I walked into a restaurant where they tried to enforce that rule on me, I went ballistic. I was screaming and shouting in the restaurant, made a big scene. I had a couple of people applaud. I was not happy about that. I was not doing it for the applause. But you want to try to tell me that I've got to follow some ritual to put a mask on my face to walk 5 feet before you'll seat me here? I'm not going to be dominated by your rituals. I'm not going to kowtow to that. This is nothing but a ritual, and you know it. And they say, yeah, we know it. Okay, fine, then we're done. I'll never see you again. You'll never see me again. And anybody that I know in this area, I'll tell them that story about that restaurant and the other restaurant and the next restaurant and the one after that and the hotels that they threw me out of, because I will not follow these rituals, this domination. This has nothing to do with science. This has nothing to do with respecting your neighbor. As a matter of fact, if you respect your neighbor, you'll fight for their freedoms. Protest is getting very heated at the BBC studios. I tweeted out one person, and this is what it looked like. We have the beginning here. You had a massive group of people who showed up at the BBC studios to protest this. And as time went on, they tried to kind of force their way in, so they put a big army of masked officers out there to stand in their way. And then push comes to shove, and actually it was the shoving began with the police, because as the crowd was pushing in, they felt crowded, no pun intended. They started to push people back, and then it got to be a bit violent. Here's another angle of that same protest. Yeah, you can kind of see how violent it's getting here. Pushing and shoving. Now at this point, the big guy in front, big fat cop, pulls out his truncheon, and they all pull out their truncheons. And at that point, the crowd starts to back. Here it is from another angle. And of course, why are people going after the BBC? Well, they know exactly what is behind all of this. They know that this is the media. It's the media and the government who see you as the enemy. It's the media who has lied to you about all this. It's the media that has been the handmaid for this propaganda coming from government experts. As one sign in Italy said, media plus test equals virus. That's what it is. Now we know. We've got it sequenced. The sequences, the pronounce. Here's the DNA sequence of the pandemic. You want to know what it is? You have government officials come out and give you phony numbers. They give you a model that's absolute garbage, like Fauci's model that he used, that he recycled, brought over from the Imperial College of London. And it said that you're going to have 2.2 million people die. Well, it was based on the idea, not a bell-shaped curve, all this stuff about flattening the curve. They didn't have a curve. They didn't have a Farr's law. Going back to 1840, they realized that every pandemic, if it's a real pandemic, it looks like a bell-shaped curve. Something's new comes in, and the people who have health issues, they succumb to it. But then the people who don't have health issues, they get immunity to it. And you start to have herd immunity, and then things start to slow down, and then it disappears. So it's a bell-shaped curve. This is the curve that they wanted to flatten. Why would you want to flatten a curve like that and extend the time frame unless you had some political objectives? And that's what the epidemiologist in Switzerland was saying. He said, yeah, it's a curve. It's always been a curve there. But why would you want to flatten it? Why would you want to make this last longer? Well, it's because of political objectives. But in that Imperial College of London simulation, there was no curve. It was simply a straight line going up forever. Every person was going to infect 2.2 other people. Forever. It was never going to flatten out and come back down. And not only was its fundamental assumption flawed, But the program itself could not produce the same answer with the same input twice in a row, as the University of Edinburgh pointed out. So you start out, here's the DNA, here's a sequence of the DNA of a pandemic. You start out with lies from the government-trusted authorities, and then you feed it into the media, and they create an echo chamber out of those lies. And then the third part of it, which is essential, is to suppress any questioning of this by other scientists, by other experts, and by the public. So in France, the court shot down several provisions, but they greenlit the controversial ones, including the mandatory health passes for the general public. Critics of the legislation accused the government of trampling on civil rights and even sliding toward a dictatorship. Let me just say, we're not sliding toward a dictatorship. We established the dictatorship 514 days ago. They established it by financially incentivizing and giving legal cover. President Trump did with his executive order on Friday the 13th, 514 days ago. It was medical dictatorship then. We're not approaching it, Joe Rogan. We're not approaching it, RT or the people in France. We're not approaching it. We're there. We've been there for a while. Wake up. It's not getting any better. It's going to get a lot worse, and it's going to get a lot worse when the weather changes. That's the excuse that they're going to use. So, yeah, we're there now. I was a paranoid conspiracy theorist. True confession time. I was a teenage werewolf. I was a paranoid conspiracy theorist. Except I was right about that. So the French cafes, if you are caught with these gendarmes going around checking everybody's phones to see, checking their little Big Brother devices to see if they're allowed to be out, if they've taken the Trump shot, if you don't have the pass, you get $158 fine, U.S., for the first infraction. And if you are a repeat offender, it can go up to $10,560. $10,000 for being out without one of these passes. And so, again, the people were not sitting in the sidewalk cafes. They go to the benches outside. And it was introduced, of course, by the globalist pioneer shill Macron. The courts have ruled that it was constitutional to mandate vaccinations for healthcare workers, and those healthcare workers are now gone on strike. Several Italian cities also were pushing back against that country's green pass. We're going to talk about the green zone. I just want to remind you of what came out last July and what the CDC, and again, this is a global agenda, and you can see this implemented very strictly in Australia. But the CDC has the same policy that Australia does. You look at all of this house arrest and the rest of this stuff and all of the different clips that I've shown you from Australia over the last year. One guy just going out to take his trash out, and he's out in his robe in the early morning, and he goes to, you know, drop the trash in. All of a sudden, the police swarm up. Where's your identity papers? You know, and all this, and I don't have any identity papers. I'm in my robe. I was just having some coffee. I want to take the garbage out. And this is my house here, you know, and it never ends. You've seen them, the helicopters harassing people recently. But also before that, out on the open beach, you know, you have one person out on an open beach and you have an army of thugs. And let me just say this. You know, we have a legitimate use for police. But we have created a police state in most of these Western civilizations. And I'm very sympathetic to the defund the police movement. There are too many police and they're doing the wrong things. The model that we had in America is the model that we should have. You have an elected sheriff. You don't have a police force that is under the direction and answerable only to a political structure like a mayor or a town manager or something like that. No. You have an elected sheriff, and he shouldn't have an army of police officers either. He should have police officers who, when there is a need, can pull together the posse comitatus, the power of the community. That's what posse comitatus means. So what we should have is what you've seen in the Western movies. You know what that looks like. But what we have instead is what you've seen in the dystopian science fiction movies. That's what too many police look like. And you want to see what too many police look like? Take a look at Australia, where they're enforcing this stuff. They have way too many police, and so do we. So do we. If it was a standing army, it would be the second largest army in the world after our regular army. We have a standing army of police who are ready to do this stuff. Some of them have taken an oath to the Constitution that they obey, and they're the ones who are purged out. Just as we're seeing the people being purged out of the military now with this September 15th deadline for vaccines. They want to get people who are going to support the Constitution and individual liberty out. That's the real issue here. That's the real issue. So several Italian cities pushing back against the Green Pass. We'll talk about the Green Zone. It's amazing. It's almost like they've got a common plan or something. It's almost as if there was, I don't know, a global conspiracy where they're all breathing together to create crimes against humanity. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The Green Pass now required for teachers, for people to attend indoor events in Italy. And again, we have signs being held up, an English and Italian test plus media equals virus, a new world order pass, the Fourth Reich pass. That's exactly what this is. Brought to us by the Nazis that we brought back with Operation Paperclip. Thousands gathered in central Rome shouting, "No Green Pass and freedom." Thousands more marched in Milan, some comparing themselves to Holocaust victims by wearing the yellow Star of David badges and words, "not vaccinated." That is exactly what this is. You know, you can have Marjorie Taylor Greene capitulate after a lot of pressure, but that's exactly what this is, folks. Let's understand. History doesn't exactly repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. In Turin, angry citizens marched in front of the editorial offices of Italy's biggest dailies, La Repubblica and La Stampa, shouting, "You are excrement, you sold out." Same thing we see in BBC. And this is a good thing. This is a good thing because the people are realizing that it's the media. They realize the media's partnership in this with the globalist dictators. I'm glad they're doing that. They need to push back against this lying media. And they need to push back against the censors. But they, you know, censors are located here in America for the globalists running social media. So there they can go to the BBC, they can go to La Stampa, they can go to La Repubblica, and they need to protest and let them know, "We know exactly what you're about." Years ago, I interviewed a guy named Tony Rook in the UK, and he put together a documentary. His father was a police officer. And he came, you know, had several people in his family who were, and he was concerned about the BBC's involvement with 9/11 because it was a BBC reporter who reported 20 minutes before Building 3 was pulled down, as the owner said, "Pull it," right? So before it was pulled down in a demolition, the BBC knew 20 minutes in advance, and the BBC reporter is there reporting on it with the building over the shoulder. And the shot, still up, said it's just fallen down. And so because of that, Tony Rook and others, what he wanted to do was he put together a documentary. And he had a lot of retired police officers, judges, and lawyers sit as a jury, and they presented evidence that this was a false flag. And part of it was, and they also had firemen. The firemen were saying, if these buildings, these steel skyscrapers, were able to collapse in their footprint, which we've never seen before since, why didn't we have any change in the way that we fight fires? Or any changes in building codes and so forth, on and on and on. But he put that together, and the name of his website was Killing Anti. Anti is a nickname in the UK for the BBC. And he was focused on 9/11, but the center piece of what he was doing in the UK was to focus on the BBC's partnership with this global agenda that we're now seeing rolling out. Understand, because this lockdown and this pandemic lockdown is tied to 9/11 with Dark Winter and the rest of this stuff, that what you see happening now globally and the BBC's partnership in pushing the lies of 9/11 are now being expressed through what we're seeing now. It is a partnership, and they've been in a partnership to go to war with us since before September 11th, because they were plotting to do it then. Protesters from the no-vax movement also gathered in Naples, and they shouted, "Hands off the children," and "Shame, shame." And that's a big part of what was the protest in BBC as well. People are very upset about the vaccine mandates for their kids. even more upset, and this is a good sign, even more upset than they are for the vaccine mandates for themselves. That's a very good sign. Digital certificates that provide a proof of a person's coronavirus status are called the Green Pass in Italy. And so you have to either have been vaccinated or recently tested negative. And of course, they're going to continue to test people more and more frequently. They're going to start charging you for the tests, and this is the way they gradually ramp this up. And even in Italy, you have fully vaccinated protesters in Italy who are burning their passes as a protest against the infringement of civil liberties. See, this doesn't have anything to do, and they understand that. Fully vaccinated people who are concerned about this enough to take multiple Trump shots, they understand, they reject this idea of a COVID pass if they really stop and think about this, because this is nothing other than a global ID and making the most simple aspects of your life government-granted privileges that can be removed at any period of time. When you look at the World War II movies, when you look at the Quislings that worked with the Nazis, or you look at the Vichy government in France, as a matter of fact, it was about 12 years ago, and I did a video. I'll have to show that again. And then I began the video, but your identity papers, please, right? Showing a sign, showing a scene from The Great Escape as the guys get out. They're in civilian clothes. There's Nazis everywhere checking everybody's papers. Do we really want to have that? Do you really understand what is happening here? The BBC studios, again, targeted by an agitated group of protesters opposing the COVID plans. They rushed the building, shouting, "Shame on you." They brought some children with them. They believe the country's leadership is in cahoots with pharmaceutical companies and media outlets to deceive the British public about both the disease and the vaccine. The BBC was apparently singled out because, of course, it is obviously acting in the interest of the government rather than the British people. It is funded by the government. It has always been acting in the government's interest as a propaganda piece, just like NPR. But it's not just NPR. It's ABC, CBS, NBC. It's CNN. It's Fox News. It's MSNBC. And it's the theoretically independent media that you see pushing the government's agenda. They really are. When they push the fear about the Wuhan virus lab, or when they push the exact opposite now. Now they flipped the script 100%. And said, there is no virus. There is a virus. It's the China virus. It is a virus of political dictatorship. And talk about anything but that for these guys. Yeah, don't fight against that. Fight for Trump. Scare everybody with the Wuhan lab. Scare everybody or tell everybody, swing it in the other direction. This is a common tactic of Alex Jones and InfoWars. Add false details to misdirect people and to focus them on the wrong thing. UK protesters gathering outside the BBC, angry with the tone of reporting and the BBC pushing the agenda of vaccine passports. The national BBC simply follows the government's line, paid by you, directed by them, ever thus, writes a Twitter user named Bernie. One person replied and said, defund your BBC, defund the BBC, cancel your TV license today. And that's exactly what Tony Rook was trying to get people to do and pointing out, you know, their connection again to 9/11 to get them to do that. UK protest against vaccines for the children is what this was fundamentally about outside the BBC studios. And that's why they brought some children with them. In Canada, you have people who are organizing a pushback campaign by a British Columbia mother has turned into a grassroots movement uniting Canadians across the country to push back. Just a simple letter writing program. Let me tell you, you may not think that that makes a difference. You may not think that showing up in mass in the streets makes a difference, but it does. Take a look at what happened in the UK, where you got the BBC, you got Boris Johnson, the conservative, pushing all this stuff, lying to people, oh no, we're not going to do any vaccine mandates. No, we're not going to have any vaccine passports. And people say, wait a minute, you just had this meeting where you're talking about it, and you've got a task force that's putting, no, we're just kind of wargaming it, but we're never going to do that. Fast forward only about 2 weeks later, and they're doing it. And we've seen this happen over and over again in the UK. They've been at the very epicenter of this. It's the Five Eyes countries This is being driven by the intelligence agencies who have taken over our governments, the global intelligence agencies, this cabal. They're driving a great deal of this. And so when you look at what is happening with this, and I've had people say, well, I don't really think, and this is kind of the mindset of most conservatives, I don't think getting together in the streets and protesting changes anything. Well, it did in the UK. 500,000 people showed up in streets. Actually, that was the press's figure, official figure. I think it was far more than that. The people who were in favor of what they were doing said that the crowd was much bigger than 500,000. But let's just go with 500,000. It was enough people that Boris Johnson then announced, well, July 19th, we're going to have Freedom Day. And then on Freedom Day, he rolls out more restrictions that are going to be coming up in a couple of months. But he immediately replied to that big protest by saying, all right, we're going to ease up. We're going to take off the mask and have you a couple of days where you can let off steam, because he knew that there was a massive pushback building. They pay attention to that. They pay attention to, you know, you don't need to get together and storm a building. That is counterproductive, and that is something that is done by agent provocateurs and the people who have been gaslighted into following them. But if you show up in mass, they pay attention. And if you write them letters in mass, which is what this mother in British Columbia is telling the Canadians to do, they pay attention. And I'll give you an example here in America, and that's homeschooling. Homeschooling is something that was established against the wishes and the demands of the biggest teachers' unions, Classroom Teachers Union, but especially the NEA. They hate homeschooling. They do everything they can to shut it down. And look at how they are controlling the opening and closing of the government schools now, and whether or not there's going to be masks and how the masks are going to be used. They have a tremendous amount of clout. But it was massive letter-writing campaigns by homeschooling families who were a tiny minority. Massive letter-writing campaigns that got the politicians to listen to them. And I'm telling you, they will pay attention. They don't. You don't have to make it you don't have to try to convince them with arguments. You just tell them where you stand on this issue, because they look at these responses and they weigh them by the pound. Not by the pound, because then you would write them a long letter. That would make that makes more difference. No, don't waste your time writing them a long letter. Write them a short letter telling them that you disagree with what they're doing. And that will carry a great deal of weight. The silent majority cannot remain silent anymore. We are in the majority. If you look, as I said, at YouTube, where they're pushing out these propaganda videos to get people to believe their narrative about the pandemic or the vaccines. You look at these videos and look at the comments. Everybody is pushing back if they allow comments. Eventually, what they do is they take the comments off. But when they allow comments, everybody's pushing back at it. If you look at the thumbs up and thumbs down, there'll be more than 1,000 to 1 against. I mean, people are not buying this. We know that the BBC, we know that these big newspapers in Italy are nothing more than Pravda and Izvestia. We're not fooled. The people in Russia were not fooled by Pravda and Izvestia. We're not fooled by the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, and Fox, are we? You know this is a lie. We all know it's a lie, and you can see it in the comments and the thumbs up and thumbs down. But we cannot remain silent. We have to send them letters. We have to show up in places so they can count us. We have to make a show of the fact that we do not agree with this. We have to make a really loud noise. Open up the window. Sean, I've had enough. I'm not taking it anymore. Network. We want to give you a voice, and it's really about getting involved, said one person in an interview, the person organizing this. Write your senators, write your elected officials, write whoever you need to, join people in the streets, make sure you're out there, that you're being seen, stop wearing the mask, don't be a part of the oppression. And then this individual who's organizing it said, in biblical times, the wall of Jericho fell down by making a loud noise. Well, that's not exactly what did it. We also want people to make a really loud noise. Now, let me just tell you, marching around that city for 7 days and then doing it seven times on the seventh day or whatever it was, and a bit foggy. Anyway, That wasn't what made the walls fall down. As a matter of fact, I thought it was kind of interesting. We had some archaeologists find the city. They found the walls had fallen from the inside out. They weren't knocked in like a conqueror would do if they were battering it. These walls fell down, but they fell from the inside out. It was God who knocked those walls down of Jericho. These people were basically just doing what God told them to do, even though it made absolutely no sense to them. We had to walk around in a parade for 7 days. And on the seventh day, we do it seven times. You just do what God says to do. And do make a loud noise in the process. That's also a very good thing to do. And again, I read you on Friday, Rand Paul. It's time for us to resist the op-ed piece that he did. Excellent. I'm not going to go back into that and read it again. But if you haven't read it, you need to read the whole thing. I just gave you some excerpts from it. I'm glad that he's doing it now. Again, a year ago was the time to do it. But we don't have much time left. We're coming up to a dark winter, and it will be a dark winter indeed. All they have to do is just say that there's a pandemic. And the media will repeat it, and we're going to show how they're lying about the hospitalizations, how they're lying about the resurgence and the Delta virus and Delta variant and all this stuff, right? All they have to do is come up with a lie. It doesn't have to be believable. They don't have to show you the data. And it'll be parroted by the media, and it'll be the police who enforce it. And we better start right now. It's way past time. I'll just mention a couple of things that Paul said on Friday. He said, Nancy Pelosi, you will not arrest or stop me or anyone else on my staff from doing our job. We have either had COVID or had the vaccine or have been offered the vaccine, and we will make our own health choices. We will not show you a passport. We will not wear a mask. We will not be forced into random screenings and testings so that you continue your drunk with power reign over the Capitol. You can just basically paraphrase that and send that to all of your elected representatives and say, we're going to be watching you very closely. And we're going to make sure, dedicated, no matter who the opposition is, we're going to be dedicated to getting you out of office if you go along with this globalist takeover. He said to Biden, he said, President Biden will not accept your agency's mandates or your reported move toward a lockdown. No one should follow the CDC's anti-science mask mandates. If you want to shut down federal agencies again, some of which are not even back to work yet, I will stop every bill coming through the Senate with an amendment to cut their funding if they don't come back to work in person, which is, by the way, what DeSantis is doing with school board members and other bureaucrats, administrative bureaucrats in the schools that are saying, oh, well, we're going to have our mask mandates and we don't care what the governor says. It's like, well, you don't care what I say. I'm going to pull the money back. And what does that tell you? The money is how you control people, right? Everybody knows that. And I just don't understand why the Trump cult doesn't understand that. If you look at that executive order, we unleashed trillions of dollars to these people. And, of course, you know, we're going to help out the small businesses, and yet 5% of the companies that are big businesses got more than 50% of the money. But when you look at it, it's always the money. They get people to do things that they don't have the authority to dictate by giving them fiat currency from the Federal Reserve. And then if you don't want to do what they tell you to do, and you're already on the take, then they will withdraw that funding. Now, oh, I don't want to have that happen, you know, because then it makes me look bad because we don't have the money to run the schools and everything, so I'll put the boys in the girls' locker room. This is the way they do it all the time. And so it's high time that you had some, first of all, you need to understand what that approach is. And it's good that DeSantis understands that, and it's good that that DeSantis is using that against these people who are under him in the state school system. But again, I think it's we don't want to be held hostage to helicopter funds that are being showered down on us from a higher office. We need to start becoming independent. Do I sound fed up to you? That's because I am, said Rand Paul. I've been telling everyone for a year now that Fauci and other public health bureaucrats are not following the science. I've been proven right time and again. Well, you know, but Rand Paul is not just a doctor who's practiced for 30 years. He's also a senator. He should have called them out on the fact that they're not following the law. He should have called them out on their attacks against individual liberty. But he says they can't arrest all of us. They're petty tyrants. They have gone wild. And yet, it's not just the politicians at the top. This year of propaganda and fear, has created a very large base of grassroots Democrat support. 65% of Democrats want everybody to wear masks. 65% of Democrats said visitors to gyms, restaurants, and theaters should be required to show their vaccine passport, their vaccine card. So 65% of them want the vaccine passport, Democrats. 74% of them believe that even the vaccinated should wear masks. This is Democrats. So 74% want you wearing a mask even if you're vaccinated, and 65% of them want vaccine passports. How about Republicans? Well, the sad thing is it's about a third of Republicans for both of those. 32% of Republicans want people who've been vaccinated to wear a mask still, and 29% of them want to have the passport. That's how bad the situation is right now. And this is a Rasmussen poll. They also found that more blacks than whites, 61% versus 49%, approve of the CDC's mask recommendations. And 50% of blacks want a COVID ID, as opposed to 43% of whites. But no voter ID. Voter ID would be racist, but a COVID ID is not racist, right? We got Austin pushing the panic button. Warning of a catastrophe. Let me tell you, there's not a catastrophe happening in Austin right now. Absolutely not. This is malpractice from the medical community and misinformation from the media. Kansas City Hospital, for example. This is from Information Liberation. Kansas City Hospital counters the media's false narrative that they're overwhelmed with child COVID cases. We also want to emphasize that we have plenty of capacity to see your child. This is because you had the Kansas City Star come out and say, Children's Mercy Hospital hits capacity as COVID cases continue rising in the KC Metro. They came out and they said, that's not true. And good for them for telling the truth about this. They said, we got 367 beds. We got 19 hospitalized child patients in total. But what is really happening, folks, is this is RSV. It is a respiratory syncytial disease, if I'm saying that correctly. RSV is something that is very common in kids. You know, it's one of these things like pink eye or something. And as Alex Berenson, science writer for the New York Times, previously a science writer for the New York Times, unfortunately he actually did science, and so they kicked him out of the New York Times. But Alex Berenson said, what you're seeing here is something that's very common. The lockdowns kept the kids away from each other for about the last 18 months. So you're now seeing a big surge because now that they're coming back together again, they're all getting it at once. And what you're seeing everywhere is RSV. As a matter of fact, WATE in Tennessee says East Tennessee Children's Hospital reports more RSV cases in July than the first half of 2021. Again, it's not COVID. It's not the Delta variant. It's not any of that stuff. It's RSV. It's a respiratory disease. But, of course, since we don't have any tests that are legitimate and we're not doing the tests and we're rewarding people for doing clinical diagnosis, just call it COVID. And the media will trumpet that, right? But it's really RSV. 303 RSV cases at the Knoxville Hospital in the month of July. RSV is a contagious virus in children and can cause respiratory infections that can lead to more serious illness, such as pneumonia. Any respiratory illness can be serious if it's not treated properly. And it can certainly become serious if it's treated improperly, if it's ignored or treated improperly, and that's what we've seen over the last year. The CDC director admits that the claim that over 99% of in-hospital COVID deaths were among unvaccinated people was absolute garbage. See, the narrative was, first, that, we've got this information about the unvaccinated people, and we got information about the Delta variant, and we got information about masks and so on. Where's the data? You even had experts say, well, I'm troubled by this because they haven't shown the data is not available, they said. And they ran with this. And this is like the smear campaign that they might do to a politician or an individual. Throwing this out, all of the people pick it up and run with the news. And then a week or two later, they come back and they say, well, it wasn't true. And they put the retraction on page 25 of the newspaper. And the damage has been done. So they run with this lie. People say, where is the data? When they finally get the data, it turns out that the data was not only cherry-picked data from particular states, but they also included data from January. And then they excluded the most recent data. So they cherry-picked it from a time standpoint. They cherry-picked it from a geographical standpoint. Just pick the numbers, whatever you want. This has always been the case. This is why I say, you know, this is a pandemic based on the numbers from Fauci. Yeah, we got these numbers here. I did. The numbers don't lie. I do. What an astonishing act of fraud, says Chris Minahan, in terms of the article he's got here covering it. So first there was no data available, and then when pressed on it, weeks later, after the narrative has been implanted in people's minds as true, they come back and say, no, we lied. And this has now been admitted by the director, Walensky. Do you stand by those numbers? Do you have government data to back them up? She said, thank you for asking that question. I'm so glad that you asked that question. They always. No, she said, so those data were data from analyses in several different states from January through June. And it didn't reflect the data that we have now from the Delta variant. So we're actively working to update those in the context of the Delta variant. In other words, we just made this stuff up. Caught in lie after lie, flip-flop after flip-flop. And nobody holds them accountable because the media is the partner in this propaganda campaign. So DeSantis, again, as I pointed out, is threatening to withhold salaries from school officials who defy the mask mandate ban. Yeah, that's right.
Show me the money! Jared, you better yell!
That's how we get their attention. Show me the money. You show the money, and you can get Republican governors to lock down and mask people up. You pull the money back, and they will do the right thing if you got a Republican governor saying that. But, you know, they can go either way. Don't pay any attention to party. And I'm not a DeSantis cheerleader by any means. He's done a lot of wrong things. He's still cheering the vaccine. He's done some things about free speech, but it's very limited in its scope. It's targeted towards free speech for politicians, not for you and I. He's also had a law that he and the Republicans in Florida put together to say that you can't criticize a foreign government, one foreign government. That would be Israel. So he's a mixed bag, but let's applaud them when he does the right thing. And he has fought the, in Florida, they have genuine, unlike Texas and many other places, they have not, in Texas, stopped the vaccine passport, only for the government and the vaccine mandates. They haven't done anything to stop any of that. You can see that at the Houston Methodist Hospital, where, you know, there are about 170 employees filed a suit and the judge just summarily threw it out. I'm not even going to consider that. So they haven't done anything to protect our rights here in Texas, but they have done some things and they fought it, and he's fighting the CDC, and he's, even as he's had a federal judge say, no, you can't stop the cruise lines and the CDC from requiring vaccines to get on a ship. He is countering that, protesting that. So now he's doing it with the schools as well. They could move to withhold the salary of any district superintendent or any school board members as a narrowly tailored means to address the decision makers who lead the violation of the state law. Now, Biden has said, we need leadership from everyone. He's right about that. We need leadership from everybody to fight Biden and these globalists. If some governors aren't willing to do the right thing to beat this pandemic, then they should allow businesses and universities who want to do the right thing to be able to do it. I say to these governors, please help, but if you aren't going to help, at least get out of the way. Well, Ron DeSantis is leading by not getting out of the way on this issue. That's exactly how we need to lead. We need to lead by resisting. Resisting. Now is the time to resist. We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around
and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com. I want to talk a little bit about some correspondence that I've gotten. As a matter of fact, as I was talking about the false narrative about hospitals, we have one hospital that's pushing back against the local press and saying that's simply not true. We have plenty of beds available, and the surge that you're seeing in children is a surge in RSV because there hasn't been any of it because we've kept them isolated from everybody. And so now you're getting 18 months of this all at once. RSV is not COVID, unless you want to make a $13,000 bonus and do a clinical diagnosis, or if you want to use a PCR test and hope that you keep getting lucky. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. Another risk of these tests, besides being flagged as a person who needs to be incarcerated, but this is from a listener who works as an EMS, and he says, here this is from my perspective. He says, basically referencing the fear-mongering that Bloomberg and other mainstream media and the Drudge Report are putting out about the situation with Austin. We've only got 6 hospital beds left for 2.5 million people. I'm not believing that, frankly. But this is his perspective. Our local hospital emergency rooms are busy. But he said, our overall call volume does not coincide with the numbers that we're seeing in the ERs. Emergency rooms. That means that the ERs are filling up with walk-in patients, and walk-in patients don't tend to be critical patients. If EMS isn't bringing in an excessive amount of critical patients, then who's going to get put on all the ventilators? Just a thought. He said, there's no pandemic on the street here. The ERs are full of people who've been told to be afraid, to be very afraid, and so they're doing a walk-in. And, you know, if you beg them to treat you as a COVID patient, they'll be more than happy to oblige, because, again, it's very profitable for them. This is from a listener in Canada, Tim. He says, Trudeau is looking into vaccine mandates, of course. Well, he says, it's only a matter of time. My prime minister is looking into vaccine mandates, not just for all federal employees, but also for people who are working in federally regulated industries, like airlines and railways, to shut down. This is not about the fact that he has the power to do this. This is about shutting down transportation. Shutting down transportation, shutting down energy use, shutting down food supplies, that is a key part of this. Folks, you understand, this is not only a dictatorship for full control. This is a dictatorship for depopulation. And if you shut down our power supply, our transportation, our food supply, and these other things, and if you push out a vaccine that attacks the reproductive systems of people, it's not a vaccine, if you put out something that injects people with a spike protein that reprograms their body to manufacture the spike protein, this is a depopulation genetic code injection. Anyway, and to shut down transportation. Again, I've worked in Canada's largest railway for 22 years, which is privately owned, and coincidentally, Bill Gates is the largest shareholder. I've held many positions in the railway over the years, building up a career, but after reading this story with the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, I am actively looking at moving on. Good. I am a full-time, single parent to a 13-year-old and have thought of just sacrificing myself to help her. But the thought of being forced to do something with a chance of harming my body and mind is making me say no thank you. The biggest thing that is stopping me is, will I be fully human after just 2 shots? Or the endless shots that will follow? I think you'll be fully human. I think this is something that is there to damage your body. And I would just say this to anybody who's trying to make that calculation. Should I just sacrifice myself for my children? If you have an adverse reaction to this, if you die, who's going to look after your kids? But if you have an adverse reaction to this where you wind up with some crippling disability, maybe after a couple of days, as that one lady, they brought her testimony there in tears, was saying, you know, I was fine, didn't have any reaction to it at all, and then 2 days later my legs just went out. And the doctor told me just to get used to being in a wheelchair the rest of my life. And she started crying. Do you want to be a burden on your family? You know, one of the things that Catherine Austin Fitz does, why I've left it up there for so long, so many people have asked me, what do I do to push back against these employers who are going to be mandating this? And, of course, the mandates, as Fauci is bragging, the mandates are going to escalate as soon as they rubber stamp this with the FDA. And it's a given. The FDA is going to violate its own rules. You know, they can approve something for emergency use authorization without doing any testing. But they have rules that say that you have to test vaccines and therapeutics and so forth before you can authorize them. They're going to skip all of that. They're going to skip and violate and break their own rules. And it's a given. I mean, we know they're going to do it because this is all political. And once they do that, as Fauci said, then that green lights all the corporations to say it's an approved medicine. Therefore, it's safe. Get over this idea of binary, right? You have either, you know, binary state, it's either a one or a zero. It's either on or off. It's like a light switch without a dimmer, right? With a dimmer, it's an analog. But a digital world that we think in terms of, it's either yes or no. There's no maybes. There's nothing in between. There's no gray areas. It's fully on or fully off. People think about FDA drug approval that way. Well, it's approved, therefore it's safe. No. No, as a matter of fact, we just saw a very expensive drug that was green-lighted by the FDA over the objections to the entire scientific panel that they'd put together. They had, I think it was 11 people. 10 of them said no. One of them abstained. And they went ahead and did it. Now, that's a new precedent. And three of the people then subsequently resigned, said this is a sham. And it has become a sham. The FDA is a sham organization. It was never constitutional. It is now a sham organization. If you want to make sure that food is safe, you can do that and should do that at the local level. Everything that's worthy of being done should not be done at the federal level. And a lot of important things don't need to be done by government at any level, but certainly not at the federal level. But they are going to rubber stamp it. They're going to rubber stamp it probably before September the 15th. Yesterday, Biden came out and said, I'm going to mandate this for the military starting September the 15th. That tells you that they expect the FDA to do this on or before September the 15th. Because he also said, or whenever the FDA authorizes it, that's when it'll kick in, if they do it before then. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. Fauci saying, yeah, as soon as they mandate this, all the corporations are going to force you to take it. You ain't going to have a job. Well, okay, fine. We need to set up our other society. And there are a lot of us out here. We are the majority. And if the big box corporations do not want us, we need to tell them, you are not essential. You are not essential. Biden is not essential. The presidency is not essential. The federal government is not essential. Wall Street is not essential. As a matter of fact, it's essential that we shut down all those failed institutions that are corrupt, that are parasitic, that are trying to destroy us, that have gone to war with us. It is essential that we shut them down, one way or the other. And again, I see it as the frowning providence of God to shut these things out of our lives that are so hopelessly corrupt. It's going to be rough. I'm not saying it's easy. It's going to be rough. And so it's going to be rough for this man as well. But let me tell you, you cannot sacrifice yourself. Don't have that attitude because you don't know what's going to happen. And this could be much worse for your family. Do not sacrifice yourself in that. Sacrifice yourself in a different way for your family, but not by taking the vaccine. Another listener, Jason. I'm catching up on your show, watching the segment from Thursday. I have a theory on what will happen with the smaller landlords, talking about the CDC, the Center for Dictatorial Control is what they've become. They don't have anything to do with medicine or disease. They are a disease. No, what they are is a centralized dictatorial control agency. And when you look at what they're doing with this lockdown, this is trying to push us into the agenda, the Great Reset, trying to take away private property rights. He says, I have a theory. He says, I don't think that they'll necessarily lose their homes. What I predict happening is that they'll be offered to refinance at a higher interest rate as a trade-off for restarting payments, thus extending the time of their loan. I'm sure that they'll still be on the hook for the past payments with interest on top of it. This will be a way for the banks to gain billions and additional dollars on existing loans. Well, that could be. Or it could be that the banks will do something that in the near term looks like it's totally against their interest and hurting their bottom line, because they will not be allowed to fail, as we saw, 2008, 2009. You look at this and say, and I remember when that happened. I remember we had some neighbors who had refinanced their home, and they got a great interest rate. They were able to take cash out, and their monthly payment still went down. Well, we ought to do that too. So we looked into it, and but within 1 week, all of a sudden, and it began in California. You had some California banks saying, "That's it. We reevaluated the real estate market, and we don't think these homes are worth anymore. So we're not going to do any more loans." They just shut it off just like that. Then why are they doing that? And then just spread across the country. Why are they doing that? Why are they? It's hurting themselves when they write down these loans. And they're going to force people into foreclosure. Why are they doing that? Well, because they want to own all of this stuff. They want to be able to take this stuff back and then resell it. They know that they'll be made whole by the federal government. I don't know that these individual landlords will be made whole. I think this is a power grab one way or the other, whether they're going to use this to strong arm them for increased interest rates and longer term loan, or whether they're going to use it just to take the property. I had the report, I think I read it on air, about one individual in Florida. He says, I've got several different properties. They owe me $24,000 on one, and they went out and bought a new boat. They're not in any financial issues. They just aren't paying me because they don't have to. But it's much worse for the immigrants that I pointed out in New York. Some Chinese immigrants who came here to work hard, to build a life. They started trying to get equity. They're working in menial tasks, doing cleaning jobs, and saving their money, taking out a loan, and buying some property they could rent out to people in New York City, and then they shut this thing down just like that. And it's ballooning. One of them said, "I'm $80,000 in loan." This is in debt behind all this stuff. Now, the banks have not taken the property away from him, but what's going to happen when this all ends? Biden will make a big show out of making some people whole, but it's going to be just as fraudulent as Trump's CARES Act. And you're going to wind up seeing almost all the money going, this may be one of the reasons why BlackRock is buying up so much property, because they'll be made whole. They'll be given when there's trillions of dollars floating out there to try to make this all up, the Chinese immigrant in New York City probably won't get a penny on the dollar, and BlackRock will be made fully whole. That's how the system works. And this is why we need to stop this and shut this down. And it's the Republicans as well as the Democrats. Let's take a look at the toxic medicine. As a matter of fact, we talk about the tests and how many times you're going to have to do the tests and how you're now going to have to pay for the tests, and they're going to bludgeon you with the tests until you succumb and take the until you take the virus, the vaccine, the jab. It is the virus. So come and take the virus, or we're going to keep punishing you with this vaccine. Take a look at this video. This is, and I've reported this before with some pictures, and somebody who works in the medical field and said, I took these things out. If you look at them, you don't even have to do it under magnification. Look at them. You can see they got spikes on it. And if you rub it across the meat, you can see that it's leaving these spikes behind. Well, we've got some more detailed video of this. I want you to see what this looks like and ask yourself, because they compare this to a cotton swab. Why are we not using cotton swabs? We've had cotton swabs around for a long time. Why are we not using ivermectin and HCQ? We've had them around for a long time too, right? There's something sinister going on here. Let's take a look at these LFT swab bristles.
Welcome, everybody. Today's topic is testing the so-called test. Key question today, what do those swabs do? Original, sterile, and clean to make sure everything is as it is designed to be. Whatever that might be. Now for a closer look. Cotton swab first for comparison. And now the COVID-19 test swab.
Look at that. Unbelievable. And that's high magnification right there. You can see all the spikes sticking out. Then they get closer and look at it. It looks like fiberglass particles or something when you look at it close up. This is big magnification. Look at that.
I suggest we move on to try something really insightful. Test some meat, to see what it actually does to you, in contact with soft skin, or mucous membrane especially. As you can see, the meat is spotless. Let's go with the cotton first. Remember to check, if you can see a difference, each time. 1000-fold magnification. Clean meat. Despite really working it, no trace. Now the coveted swab. And just a gentle touch. You can already see the first spikes that have broken off, on their way into the flesh. Let's have a closer look. Those spikes broke off and penetrated the meat. It took little time to realize. They were everywhere. All standing straight up. When looking at the swab, obviously by design. Meat cells to the left, showing the magnification level, and to the right a spike, that small. Swab after touching the meat. Barely anything came out with it, but a large of it remained, on end. In the flesh. If the task was to harvest a bit of genetic material, a normal cotton swab would do just fine. The coveted swab, however, does sting and break. It leaves large amounts of itself, at where it touches skin and flesh, and this material stings, and penetrates. What those spikes do, or what they deliver, is beyond my testing capacities. I can only prove to you, that they do break off, and are designed to do so, to remain in the body for whatever purpose.
And again, I've had a friend say, I've got a couple of elderly relatives, and one of them got a respiratory illness, so they watch television all the time, and they're very meticulous about following all the Fauci rituals. And so they were very concerned we should go and be tested for it. So they go to the hospital, and they test him, and there was also, he wasn't sick. They had some other issue, and he didn't have any symptoms. I take that back. But he goes and they test, and he's negative. And they do it four different times. They just keep testing. Why? Because of the money. And after the fourth test, he still didn't test positive, but he had a tremendous problem in his nasal cavities from the irritation of this. Think about that while you watch this video here. And you see that each time it's leaving behind bristles. Why is that? Well, the dailyskeptic.org, talking about that, it says, it seems odd. These bristles appear to be like tubes. Raise the question of whether they're hollow and what might be inside of them, as you saw, right? So Professor Anthony Brooks and Dr. Keyes Stratman from the University of Leicester in the UK put some material from one under a powerful laser microscope to see what was inside the bristles. So you could see those bristles, and I said it looks like little glass tubes, and they're, fiberglass or something. The bristles were easy to separate from the swab itself, they said, about 15 micrometers in diameter, the size of a large nucleus of a human cell, and clearly comprised of an outer tube filled with an inner filling. The inner material does not seem to exude or flow or deviate from the cylindrical shape when the bristles are dissected, so we would provisionally conclude this inner material is solid or semi-solid in nature. It remains a mystery why these swabs would be manufactured in this strange way and why they would break away so easily when it should be straightforward to design a swab or just to use what's always been used there, right? A cotton swab, which does not break away. I mean, the whole point is you're trying to obtain a sample, not leave something behind, isn't it? Or is that the point? To leave it behind. Raising even more questions is a article from about 10 days ago. Simple mouthwash test for COVID is just as accurate as a nasal swab. And talking about how, this is so unpleasant. Why are we doing this to people? Good question. Because as I said, for a PCR test, you can just use a mouthwash and you can get the same material and you can still do the test and it's just as accurate, or I would say just as inaccurate, depending on the cycle threshold magnification that you use for your PCR test. But you can get the sample using just a mouthwash. So you could get the sample using a mouthwash, you could get it using a cotton swab, or you could use it, get it using these swabs that leave bristles behind. Which one do you think they want to do? Multiple choice question. Well, they want to use the Klaus Schwab, right? The one that's going to irritate your tissues and your nose. So, yeah, you can do it either way for the PCR test. The real issue is the magnification, which they don't even talk about in this issue, in this article. The painless self-collection of gargle provides a suitable and uncomplicated source for reliable SARS detection. But no, they want to do it. They want to make it painful because this is about pushing you to get the vaccine. It's about leaving something behind. This is not even, when you look at the multiple layers of this anti-science, anti-medicine scam, this conspiracy, it's just truly amazing. As I pointed out yesterday, Fauci went on to CNN and started talking about how they're going to do vaccine booster shots. That was kind of funny. He says, we would certainly be boosting those people before we boost the general population. I thought, you know, there's a slang word for boost, right? It's got a slang meaning. And I think it really does apply here. You know, when you talk about boost, another meaning, according to the Urban Dictionary, is to blow vastly out of proportion. So I think Fauci's been boosting us for the last year. To exaggerate, to stretch the truth to the fact that you're just basically a straight-up liar. And when you say that somebody is boosting you, you're essentially saying that they're, you know, throwing out a bunch of BS. But of course, there's another meaning to boost in the urban slang, as in, you know, that homie tried to boost my ride, and I just shot him in the face. Right? Stealing. So, stealing, liar. That's what he's boosting. I'm boosting the population with the numbers here. It's a numbers game. It's a protection racket. And yeah, we're going to boost you. We're going to lie to you. We're going to steal from you. You're going to get boosted. We have one doctor, Dr. Ryan Cole, who just spoke at the America's Frontline Doctors meeting that was in San Antonio just a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to be joined by another doctor that was at that meeting coming up in the third hour, Dr. Lee Merritt. Dr. Ryan Cole said, as he was giving his presentation, of course, he's medical director of the Cole Diagnostics, one of the largest independent labs in the state of Idaho. He is a Mayo Clinic-trained, board-certified pathologist. He's board-certified in anatomic and clinical pathology. He has expertise in immunology, virology, also has subspecialty expertise in skin pathology. And he made some points in his presentation. He said where's the funding for the science? We're spending billions of dollars on advertising the clot shots to children. That's a good thing to call them, yeah. Clot shots, blood clots. We're spending billions of dollars to advertise clot shots to children, but where's the money to do the science? When a new unapproved drug hits the market, we need to use the French legal system. Guilty until proven innocent, but we're doing the opposite right now. He also talked about how the spike protein is the toxin that is being injected in everyone, and that, of course, it crosses the blood-brain barrier. He said, why in the world would we put a toxin into the human body that's going to disrupt the blood vessels in your brain, allow the spike in there, and cause inflammation? This isn't a vaccine. They keep lying to the public by calling this a vaccine. It is an experiment on humanity. Once you have heart damage, the heart does not heal itself. The heart is damaged forever. And we're now ruining kids' hearts for life with these shots. Here's an example. Christopher Brenner, a healthy 25-year-old from Ohio, hospitalized with severe heart inflammation after getting his first dose of Moderna. Children's Health Defense Fund talked to his mother, Deborah. She said, as soon as they found out something was going on with him, in terms of chest pains and so forth, they took him to the hospital, to the clinic. She said, according to the cardiothoracic surgeon and a patient safety advocate, doctors can detect evidence of heart damage or tell if somebody's had a heart attack by measuring the patient's blood troponin level. When the heart muscle is attacked by the immune system, the damaged cells release troponin into the bloodstream. And the more damage there is, the greater the concentration of the blood. And so this is a common thing. This is what they did when I had my heart attack. They're doing blood tests to see, you know, when your heart is stressed out, it releases this under attack, whether it's a heart attack, or whether it is an immune system attack on the heart. One of the ER nurses mentioned that it could be myocarditis from the vaccine, but everybody else played it down like it wasn't serious. It wasn't a big deal, said the mother. When his numbers jumped higher, then they became more serious. And so said, while we were still at that first hospital, we saw an internist who diagnosed my son with myocarditis and said it was a reaction to the vaccine. The internist explained that one type of inflammation is around the heart and one is inside of the heart. And Christopher's was the type that caused inflammation inside the heart. The National Organization for Rare Disorders says that myocarditis can result from infections, but more commonly the myocarditis is a result of the body's immune reaction to the initial heart damage. After observing him overnight, this 25-year-old, the next morning the caretaker team tested his troponin level a third time and found it was even more elevated. So they transferred him to a hospital where his level had jumped yet again. The mother said, I started freaking out because they were acting like this is no big deal. And I said, there's something wrong because his number should not be going up like that. They wouldn't do anything to try to figure out what was going on. They just played it all down. She said the cardiologists at the new hospital were totally against connecting the reaction to the vaccine. They didn't want to go there. They didn't want to talk about it. And they just said his numbers would come back down. I was getting really frustrated because I was wondering what was going on in his heart that we couldn't see. One of the internists said he was going to try and rule everything else out first. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? To protect the narrative, to protect the pharmaceutical companies, right? That's important. That's more important. See, public health is a denial of individual health. Public health is about defending institutions and corporations. It's about taking away your religious, medical freedom, your individual liberties. And your religious freedoms, too, if you have a religious objection to these injections. After 4 days of being hospitalized and treated with blood thinners and beta blockers, he was discharged. The discharged doctor told the mother he didn't know why the other physicians didn't want to admit that her son's reaction was caused by the vaccine. Quote, everybody has allergic reactions, and your son just had an allergic reaction to the vaccine. That's no problem. We just call it an allergic reaction, heart attack, whatever. I can't sit here and tell you 100% the vaccine's the cause, but the fact that he got the vaccine and just days later started having these issues, something was going on, he said. The mother says, I trusted what the doctor told me, in a sense. The vaccine makes you feel better, but the risk is very high if you get vaccinated and you just don't know what reaction you could have. Well, and that's the issue. You know, when we look at this, and I've said this before, why is it that the only reports of this that we see are people who are 18 to 25 years old, generally in good health? It's because they don't have anything else that they can blame it on. When you have somebody like Bob Odenkirk, the 58-year-old actor who was in excellent shape, all of his friends were saying, he's in great shape, he's going to come through this. I've never seen anybody in as good a shape as Bob Odenkirk. And so he's in great shape too, but he's 58 years old. And so when he has a vaccine, he has a heart attack 4 months later. They don't want to blame it on the vaccine. It just happens, right? It's just natural causes because he's 58. But if you got it happening to somebody who's very young, you can't blame it on anything else. This is not something that is just being affecting the very young and the very healthy. I'm absolutely certain of it. I want to give you another doctor's report, and you've probably seen this by now. But if you haven't, and even if you have, you need to hear this again. This is a doctor, very articulate, very precise, addressing a school board about these very issues.
Guilty as charged. Dr. Dan Stock, 5777 West 700 North, McCordsville, Indiana. To address your comment, gee, it's hard to believe we're 18 months into this and still having a problem, and I would suggest the reason we still have a problem is because we're doing things that are not useful, and we're getting our sources of information from the Indiana State Board of Health and the CDC, who actually don't bother to read science before they do this. I'm actually a functional family medicine physician. That means I am specially trained in immunology and inflammation regulation. And everything being recommended by the CDC and the State Board of Health is actually contrary to all the rules of science. So things you should know about coronavirus and all other respiratory viruses, they are spread by aerosol particles, which are small enough to go through every mask. By the way, the literature that supports all of that is in a flash drive that we presented to you. It's been given to the secretary. As a matter of fact, it quotes at least three studies sponsored by the NIH to that exact fact, even though the CDC and the NIH have chosen to ignore the very science that they paid to have done. That is why you keep struggling with this, is because you cannot make these viruses go away. The natural history of all respiratory viruses is that they circulate all year long, waiting for the immune system to get sick through the winter or become deranged, as has happened recently with these vaccines, and then they cause symptomatic disease. Because they cannot be filtered out, and they have animal reservoirs, and this is a very important point, no one can make this virus go away. The CDC has managed to convince everybody that we can handle this like we did smallpox, where we could make a virus go away. Smallpox had no animal reservoirs. The only thing it learned to infect was humans. That's why we were able to make that virus go away. That will not happen with this any more than it will with influenza, the common cold, respiratory syncytial virus, adenoviral respiratory syndromes, or anything else that has animal reservoirs. So the reason you can't do this is because you're trying to do something which has already been tried and can't be done. Equally important is that vaccination changes none of this, especially with this vaccine. And I would hope this board would start asking itself, before it considers taking the advice of the CDC, the NIH, and the State Board of Health, why we are doing things about this that we didn't do for the common cold, influenza, or respiratory syncytial virus. And then ask yourself, why is a vaccine that is supposedly so effective having a breakout in the middle of the summer when respiratory viral syndromes don't do that? And to help you understand that, you need to know the condition that is called antibody-mediated viral enhancement. That is a condition done when vaccines work wrong, as they did in every coronavirus study done in animals on coronaviruses after the SARS outbreak, and done in respiratory syncytial virus, where a vaccine used in a vulnerable individual done the wrong way, which cannot be done right for a respiratory virus which has a very low pathogenicity rate, causes the immune system to actually fight the virus wrong and let the virus become worse than it would with native infection. And that is why you are seeing an outbreak right now. In fact, in that flash drive you're going to have coming to you and in the emails with Six Extra, there will be a study showing that 75% of people who had COVID-19 positive symptom cases in Barnstable, Massachusetts outbreak were fully vaccinated. Therefore, there is no reason for treating any person vaccinated any differently than any person unvaccinated. You should also know that no vaccine, even the ones I support and would give to myself and my children, ever stops infection. In 2014, there was an outbreak of mumps in the National Hockey League. The only people who came down the symptoms were the people who were unvaccinated or unknown vaccine status. Boy, that sounds like a great argument for vaccines. But a question that you should ask yourself, knowing that half of the people who came down with symptomatic disease had no contact with an unvaccinated or unknown vaccine status individual, where did they get the disease? And the answer was from the vaccinated individuals. No vaccine prevents you from getting infection. You get infected, you shed pathogen. This is especially true of viral respiratory pathogens. You just don't get symptomatic from it. So you cannot stop spread. You cannot make these numbers that you've planned on get better by doing any of the things you're doing, because that is the nature of viral respiratory pathogens. And you can't prevent it with a vaccine because they don't do the very thing you're wanting them to do. And you will be chasing this the remainder of your life until you recognize that the Center for Disease Control and the Indiana State Board of Health are giving you very bad scientific guidance. And instead, read the articles that are going to come in the email and are on this flash drive, and listen to the people in this audience here tonight who actually have recognized the advice they are getting from the CDC and the NIH is counterfactual. And that's why you're still fighting this with this vaccine that supposedly was going to make all of this go away, but has suddenly managed to make an outbreak of COVID-19 develop in the middle of the summer when vitamin D levels are at their highest. By the way, the other thing that would be necessary for any vaccine restriction to be considered is if there were no other treatment available. And I can tell you, having treated over 15 COVID-19 patients, that between active loading with vitamin D, ivermectin, and zinc, that there is not a single person who has come anywhere near the hospital. And we already have studies that show that if you achieve a 25 hydroxy vitamin D level greater than 55, your risk of COVID-19 death will drop down to 1/4 of the population average for the United States. And there are active treatment trials included on that flash drive that show the same is true. So if you were going to discriminate based upon vaccine, you should also discriminate based upon 25-hydroxyvitamin D level, zinc taste test response, and probably previous infection, since there are also studies on that flash drive that show that people who have recovered from COVID-19 infection actually get no benefit from vaccination at all, no reduction in symptoms, no reduction in hospitalization, and suffer 2 to 4 times the rate of side effects if they are subsequently vaccinated. Therefore, the policies that you are basing on are totally counterfactual. I don't blame this board for that, because I know you aren't scientists and you've thought it was reasonable to listen to the CDC, NIH, and the Indiana State Board of Health. But I would encourage that instead you listen to the people out here in this audience and read what's on that data drive. And if anybody here in this board has any questions about anything on that, I will happily come back and sit with you individually if you would like to explain the science behind this. And if you're worried about being sued by somebody because you don't follow the guidance of the CDC and the NIH, I will tell you, have a free pro bono expert testimony at your disposal. I will testify in defense of this board, turning down all these recommendations for free at any time in any court. Thank you.
All right, did a great job of laying that out. As he pointed out, you can't stop people from getting infected. I mean, the bottom line is the vaccine's purpose, if it was working, if it was a vaccine, the purpose would be to train your immune system. And yet it's not doing that. You heard him talking about ADE, and of course, you had a lot of other scientists talking about that, doctors and scientists. You had Luc Montagnier talking about that months ago, and many others, saying that always for the coronaviruses, we've seen this get worse, that it actually creates other forms of the coronavirus when the vaccine does not fully work properly. So Luc Montagnier, who won a Nobel Prize, said you're going to see ADE syndrome kick in here quite a bit. This is from Mary, a listener, and I've had a couple listeners send this to me. A reminder of where we were back in July of last year. The CDC put together a paper, a document, called Green Zones for High-Risk People to Shield Them from COVID-19. And it looks exactly like a concentration camp scenario, because that's exactly what it is. You know, for the longest time, this is another thing. I mean, you look at the independent conservative media, what the mainstream media would call the conspiracy theory media. We were always very focused on something rolling out through FEMA. We declare a national emergency, FEMA camps and so forth. And that always tied in, again, to these annual simulations about, well, there's some kind of a natural or terrorist or bioweapon from another country or whatever. And so now we've got to lock everybody down. And everybody died because you weren't draconian enough with a lockdown. And then we got to get everybody a vaccine. And everybody died because you didn't approve an experimental vaccine. That was always the RAND Corporation strategy, to make all the people who participate in this. That was the foregone conclusion of each and every one of these simulations, from Dark Winter to Event 201. And they got that message. And the people who are running it, the people who ran this charade this last year, got a chance to practice on how they were going to push the lies out. And when you look at what this document calls for, it is exactly, as I said before, what you've seen roll out in Australia and other places, and a bit of it here. But this is really the blueprint of where they want to go. And if we allow this thing to continue to roll on, as you just heard that doctor, the Trump shots that they're giving people are actually making things worse for them. And it's the people who are already afraid of this, very much afraid, who rushed out and got the Trump shots right away. Even though it was done by Trump, and even though most of them were Democrats, they rushed out to get that shot right away. And they're also wanting to wear masks as well, and creating more health issues for themselves. But they're very paranoid about this, and now they truly are at a greater risk than everybody else for this. And so as we see this thing start to escalate, you're going to see support from them to isolate not them, but us, those of us who do not get the vaccine. And so it was Mary who sent one of the people who sent this to me. She had a couple of statements. She said, here's a big problem. When this rolled out in July 2020, who was in charge when the CDC put out this extensive plan for green zones? Well, you know, that would be Trump, right? Look at the document. It was last updated July 26th, 2020. Who hired and didn't fire Fauci? Who is the father of the vaccine and of Operation Warp Speed? Well, he didn't hire Fauci, but he certainly would not fire him. He stood behind him and put him up on the podium and gave him the bully pulpit. Here's some excerpts from this document, July 26, 2020. Interim operational considerations for implementing the shielding approach to prevent COVID-19 infections. What is the shielding approach, they said? Well, you take high-risk individuals, will be temporarily relocated to safer green zones established in the household. We always used to call those FEMA camps. But, of course, last year, what did you hear about that? Nothing. Because it was Trump. It's just 4D chess. And he's working on an mRNA vaccine. But it's okay, because that's not as bad as the Gates vaccine. You know, he's pulling this back. You know, it could be worse. He has to let them do the vaccine, says Alex Jones. He's got to let them do the vaccine. But it would have been much worse if it was a Democrat or if it was anybody but Trump. You know, he's baptized this. It's good. So the green zones, the FEMA camps or whatever, established at the household level, the neighborhood level, the camp sector, or the community level. You know, one of those sounds kind of sinister, doesn't it? The camp sector, well, it's just one of the different designations in terms of putting the people in. The purpose of this document is to highlight potential implementational challenges of the shielding approach from the CDC's perspective and to guide thinking around implementation in the absence of empirical data. Well, you know, when you don't have any empirical data, it's not science, is it? And this is not science. This is politics. This is tyranny. This is dictatorship. This is a global plan to go to war with a population. And here's what it looks like. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions or at higher risk or severe illness, they flag you, right? You are dangerous to the community. You're dangerous to public health. And so we don't care about your individual liberties. The rule of law doesn't apply anymore. We have a medical dictatorship. Again, we're not trending towards medical dictatorship. That began a long time ago. An inadvertent introduction to the virus into a green zone could result in rapid transmission among the most vulnerable populations the approach is trying to protect. So what do you have to do? Well, you got to set it up like a prison camp. You got to be very careful. You're going to have make sure that you control the entry points. You're going to have to dedicate people to dedicated staff need to be identified to monitor each green zone. It may be necessary to assign someone within the green zone, if feasible, to minimize movement in or out of the green zone. So you're going to have snitches on the inside, just like, concentration camp run by the Nazis or something. You have the snitches on the inside, people like George Soros when he was a teenager. Or you have, the guards to keep anybody from leaving, but you also have to have the snitches on the inside. So you have the household level. We have a specific room area designated for high-risk individuals who are physically isolated from others. Low-risk household members should not enter the green zone, so you isolate people from their family, and you put them, the household-level thing. Minimum movement of high-risk individuals outside the green zone. But we've seen this household-level quarantine, and again, it's not quarantine, because quarantine is something you do to sick people. This is all preventive. And when you look at the fact this is an American CDC document and you see that it was implemented at the household level and at the neighborhood level in Australia, you understand this is a globalist plan, don't you? Same thing being done in every country. It's just what you will put up with and what you have the capability to resist. At the neighborhood level, you'd had shelter groups of 5 to 10 households. Then you have the camp sector level. That is 50 or more. High-risk individuals per single green zone. What are the high-risk individuals? Well, those are people who are diseased. You know, the unvaccinated, we're being told, right? We're being prepared. This is a narrative to prepare everybody that the high-risk individuals, the ones who are the high-risk to you, all of you obedient lemmings who took the Trump shot, the people who are a big risk, a high risk to you, are those unvaccinated people. And they're building a consensus now to put us into these green zones. And just to protect the community, to protect the public health. Each green zone has a dedicated latrine bathing facility for high-risk individuals, able-bodied high-risk individuals capable of caring for residents who have disabilities or are less mobile will be identified along with the snitches. In summary, the public health, they define what public health is. This is CDC's definition of public health. Public health not only focuses on the eradication of disease, it's not about that at all. See, the Center for Disease Control is not about that. It is the Center for Dictatorial Control. It doesn't just focus on the eradication of disease, public health, but it addresses the entire spectrum of health and well-being. Which means that, you know, if you say that if we had evictions, then the homeless people would be spreaders. Even though you see homeless people coming up all last year, I would see the same homeless people on the street, panhandling as always, not wearing masks, and they'd be there day after day. They were not getting sick and dying. But, of course, the justification for taking over private property rights by the CDC, the Center for Dictatorial Control, was that if you had people who were evicted or who didn't pay their mortgage, they weren't only not paying it because they didn't have the money. It wasn't that they'd rather not pay it. I'll just keep the money. If CDC says they can't throw me out, I just won't pay. I'll go buy a boat instead, as I just pointed out. But no, they'd wind up on the street, and then that would be a big epidemic thing. So we're going to exercise our powers to protect public health. That means we're going to get rid of private property rights. And they'll get rid of every other right of yours and put you in a green zone camp as well. A FEMA camp, a CDC camp, a green zone camp. What, you know, as Rahm Emanuel said, don't call them mandates, call them requirements for living your life. Labels are labels. They keep changing them, just like they keep changing the political labels of different beliefs and different political groups. They keep relabeling them, right? They used to be proud of the term communist. They used to be proud of the term socialist. Then they changed it to progressive because that sounds much better, or liberal, right? Before that, they were liberal. They keep changing the terms for all these different things just to keep you from understanding what's going on. As the CDC points out, public health is not just about disease, but it's about health and well-being in populations that are displaced or already fragile. And so we want to make sure that we, you know, provide you with a latrine and a bar of soap every day. In humanitarian settings, small village or sector blocks or camp-level shielding may allow for greater adherence to proposed protocol, but at the expense of longer-term social impacts triggered by separation from family and friends, feelings of isolation and stigmatization. These are prisons. They're going to separate you from family. They're going to keep you there. Most importantly, accidental introduction of a virus could result in rapid transmission. These people could somehow mysteriously die, couldn't they? And, of course, they point out that this needs to be able to be sustained for a minimum of 6 months once you start this up. The number of green zones required may be greater than anticipated, and the plan for extended duration of the implementation and time has to be at least 6 months. They're not talking about 2 weeks now to flatten the curve. Now the CDC, as of last July, is talking about 6 months. And let me tell you, they lay these plans just like they laid the plans of Dark Winter and these subsequent things about what they wanted to do last year. They lay these plans, and they will enact this. It's just a matter of time. We need to understand that they've gone to war with us. We need to understand, and we need to demand our liberty, our rule of law, our due process back. It's not happening, of course, because you've got people like Ben Shapiro who just throws the people who are being held for months, 6 months in solitary confinement. Why? Because they trespassed on the sacred property of the Capitol building, the People's House. A lot of the people going in there, like Sam from InfoWars, he didn't know that there was, he didn't fight his way in. He walks in with a camera. He's like, hey, Trump, woo-hoo, which is what a reporter should do. Not necessarily cheering Trump, but I mean, you know, the mainstream media, they have their biases. They have the people that they cheer. They do it pretty openly. That's not a problem, really. I'd much rather people understand where you're coming from and tell them why. Give them the facts. Tell them where you're coming from. Nobody is objective. If you think that you're objective, you're deceiving yourself and or other people. But, you know, when you see something like that happening, if you're a reporter on the scene, you run to it. You don't run away from it, InfoWars. You run to it. And so now Sam is left twisting in the wind because he's the only reporter there that day from InfoWars. The rest of them are provocateurs, in my opinion. So, herd immunity. COVID-19 has not been demonstrated to date, so it's also unclear if an infected person develops immunity, and the duration of the potential immunity is unknown. So, well, we got to bring all this stuff into play, and it is going to be brought into play. Real quickly, before we go to break and bring in our guests, I just want to talk about the other aspect of this that we haven't talked about lately too much, and that is climate theft, the climate theft agenda. As Wall Street Journal points out, behind the rise of U.S. solar power, the solar panels, behind that, as you see, a big increase in the use of solar panels, both individual and commercial use, it's being fueled by a mountain of Chinese coal. Do you realize that the biggest producers of solar panels that are bought in the United States, just like everything else, is coming from China? They're producing it very cheaply. Why are they producing it very cheaply? Well, one of the things that they have, besides the usual China price, you know, they do currency manipulation, they do pirating, they don't pay any attention to copyrights or patents. They use slave labor. And now they've got another element of all of this, and that is cheap, available energy, because they use coal. They don't have to worry about the Paris Climate Accord. They don't have to worry about any of these things that are being done in the U.S. and Europe. No, they can do whatever they want. India is the same way. They can build as many power plants as they, under the Paris Climate Accord. This is why a lot of the people who truly believe the sky was falling, the chicken little environmentalists, were really not behind Paris Climate. They said, you're just, if this is a global problem, you're just moving it from one country to the other. You're moving manufacturing from the U.S. to China. Ah, that's the point. It's not about protecting the sky that's falling. It's not about protecting global climate. It's about moving manufacturing from one place to the other. And so they're able to produce and use coal, and so they can, that gives them yet another advantage on the China price. So they're producing more and more solar panels, and those solar panels are being produced by coal-fired energy production. So Wall Street Journal says, concerns are mounting that the solar industry's reliance on Chinese coal will create a big increase in emissions in the coming years as manufacturers rapidly scale up production of solar panels to meet demand. That would make the solar energy solar industry, one of the world's most prolific polluters. Oh, the irony of it all, right? No, no, it's not irony, it's hypocrisy. They know exactly what they're doing. As a matter of fact, I've pointed out for years that if you look at how dirty energy production is in China and in India specifically, if you have an electric car that is powered by the Indian grid, where they use lots of cheap and dirty coal plants, because you know you can make a clean coal plant, but not they're not making clean coal plants in India and China. Why? Because they're a lot more expensive. So they go with the cheap and dirty. They go cheap and dirty. So the coal plants that are powering the Indian power grid are so dirty and so prevalent that if you have a internal combustion engine car that is 35 miles per gallon or more, you're going to be more fuel efficient than the electric car that is powered off of that dirty grid. In turn, not fuel efficient, but less emissions. And so China's low-cost coal-fired electricity has given the country's solar panel manufacturers a competitive advantage, allowing them to dominate global markets as part of the China price. And then you have FreightWaves, a publication that looks at the shipping industry. This is an article on Zero Hedge. If coal is dead, then why are ships so full of it? Because our politicians are full of it. It is a load of excrement. And, of course, the ships are full of coal. You remember when you had the back and forth during the Trump administration with North Korea, and at one point in time, China was maneuvering around with Trump to get his approval, and they stopped some. They put an embargo on North Korea because North Korea was shooting missiles at everybody under Kim Jong-un. And so, and what it was, what they put an embargo on them, were massive ships of coal, because that's what fuels power in China, is coal. Coal that they produce internally, but they also import a great deal of it, and they import it from North Korea as well. And so this is happening across the world. The global trade in, quote, dirty coal, unquote, is enjoying an ironic renaissance. Freight rates are being buoyed by coal. Coal is transported around in larger bulk bulkers known as Cape sizes. That's ships with a capacity of about 180,000 deadweight tons. And so the price of high-grade Australian thermal coal that's used for power generation has tripled since last September. Why? Because that's what works. This year, a hot summer in Asia has led several of the big consumers, which have been shifting away from coal, to not shift at all. A drought in May in southern China cut that region's access to hydropower, which is an alternative to coal. More recently, the problem has been too much water in northern China, where they've had flooding. In preparation for the winter season, South Korea, along with other nations, has increased coal purchases to avoid energy supply deficits. Norway, even Norway, which has the highest proportion of electric vehicles of any other country in the world, is not giving up on oil and gas. As a matter of fact, they have large offshore oil fields, and they've been doing a lot of exploration. As a matter of fact, most of the new oil fields that are coming online are coming out of Norway. Even as they push for electric vehicles, they realize they've got to have something to run the grid off of, which we don't understand. I mean, as I've said before, you've got gremlins who are saying, everybody's got to drive an electric car. What's that going to do to the power grid demand? You can't. It's just astronomical. And at the same time, they're crippling the power generation capability. Why? It's not that they're stupid. They don't want anybody going anywhere. This is a war to take away our lifestyle, to take away our ability to travel. And the only way that we're able to travel, again, was with the individual car. So you have oil exploration jumping in Norway. As a matter of fact, they have 50 different projects where licensees are aiming for investment decisions by the end of 2022. Between January and June, 8 discoveries were made off the coast of Norway. Exploration activity and production offshore Norway were high in the first half of 2021. And yet, what do we see in America? Everything is being shut down because they want to strangle our power supplies. Norway, where they're going into, they say, yeah, we want to be clean and everything, they understand they have to have a transition. So what do we see in this infrastructure bill? Well, you got in this, not just in the infrastructure bill, but in the $3.5 trillion budget bill, you now have the Civilian Climate Corps, the dream of occasional Cortex. So Norway has got coal and gas, and we have AOC. And Senator Ed Markey, or as I call him, Ed Marxist. Ed Markey, the guy that I reported last week, as they were celebrating and demanding that the CDC continue its takeover of private property rights. Remember, they got together and said he led the group of them, the squad, Ed Marxist, Ed Markey, led them all in singing, "This land is your land, this land is my land." And he said, this is from a great radical, a great socialist, a great communist, Woody Guthrie. Let's all sing this together, honor our comrade. He is an avowed Marxist, Ed Markey. And so, you know, this is something that came from her bad old deal, you know, this resurrected FDR New Deal stuff. They want to have 1.5 million young Americans employed by the federal government, paying them $15 an hour. You want everybody working for you. You want everybody dependent on you. That is your path to greater power, handing out little trinkets to people as you steal everything from them. The Civilian Climate Corps will put them to work, remediating blight, maintaining our parks and natural lands. That was the way Occasional Cortex put it. So Gavin Newsom supporting it as well, of course. He says it's the one thing this country needs more than anything else, and that's common experiences. Now, what he means is communist experiences, and to focus on things that bind us together. Newsom says this transcends politics. You know what else transcends politics? The ban in California on pork, because that's what's happening there. As they are pushing to ban meat, and this is a concerted effort, they're putting on rules and restrictions on the production of meat, chicken, and pork. And, of course, the people who have who grow pork, they're the ones who are saying this is going to be nearly impossible for us to do this. It's going to cause shortages, massive price increases, and it's going to begin next year. California is going to start implementing their new legislation where they micromanage the farms. And what does this remind you of? Is this like Stalin going into the Ukraine and basically the breadbasket of the Soviet Union and creating a starvation program to bring the people to heel? Or Mao deciding that he's going to have the Great Leap Forward, we're going to have a new way that we're going to grow food, except they didn't grow food, everybody was starving. In response to all this, you have a kind of let-them-eat-cake attitude in California. So why are the pork producers constantly trying to overturn laws related to cruelty to animals, he says. And yet, it's in California, where, as I pointed out yesterday, you have the expose of murder for hire, removing organs from live babies, being bought by the FDA, the NIH, saying we want live, but fresh, not frozen body parts. As that's being exposed, it was California that took the lead to shut that down, going after the people who did the expose, not after Planned Parenthood, who was actually doing the hired killing. So yeah, this is all about a meatless future. It's about making sure that you're going to get people off of the rural land. There's a whole article by Vox, what a meatless future could mean for farmers, and saying, well, you know, as we start producing it by these companies that Bill Gates owns, and we start having lab meat or synthetic meat, then there's not going to be any reason for us to have farmers out there because, you know, just be synthetic stuff that's grown, that's sold by Bill Gates, and there won't be any jobs for them, and so they'll have to leave there and go into the cities just as planned. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. With our guest, I think, is coming up. Do we have her on the phone? Okay, good. With our guest, Dr. Lee Merritt. And we're going to talk about what is happening on the medical side. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated.
Dr. Merritt, can you hear me?
But each of us has...
Sure can.
Okay, good. That's a little bit loud, Travis. Can you adjust your volume? Okay, good. Thank you. Great. Let me... I've got your bio here. I've got a little bit of information. What would you like to focus on? Let me ask you.
Weapons are isolation. Deception, intimidation.
Oh, well, I think the big bomb.
They desire to know everything about
King
us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide.
You know, that's pretty impressive. And
please
also
share
the
information and links you'll find.
Admitting now that they don't
Knight
have, they didn't have SARS-CoV-2 to make the PCR, so
sharing.
The whole thing is just one big scam. And
okay, all right.
And I do think that I'll tell you my personal thing. I don't think there was ever a virus. I think what we're dealing with is a contact pathogen that was created. We're in the age of synthetic biology, and you know that's a big security issue that the military talks about, and you know that's what David Martin says this stuff has been patented. It's a big deal because you don't have to have viruses. In fact, maybe viruses never really did exist. This whole
Sometimes your day needs a little smoothing. Check out the Jazz Channel at APSradio.com and the APS Radio app and leave the stress behind.
He's past president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons and was elected to life membership in the Alpha Omega Alpha Honor Medical Society. So joining us now is Dr. Lee Merritt. Thank you for joining us, doctor.
Thank you so much for having me.
As we look at this, you know, and right now we have a massive push to push children into taking these vaccines. I mean, tell us what your view is of these vaccines and the protein spike. Is this a vaccine at all?
Well, no. By definition, it's not a vaccine because by their own definition or own understanding, it doesn't stop transmission. You know, a classic vaccine, think smallpox. The idea was I give you the vaccine and you don't get the disease. But this is something totally different. First of all, these are genetic agents. They're not vaccines. They're not made from a little scrap of, you know, of the virus. They're made from synthetic genetic material wrapped in a little lipoprotein coat. And when given to you, it actually is going to produce trillions of copies of the spike protein in your body. So it literally produces what makes people sick and die.
Yeah, yeah. It's very different. And I've mentioned, let me ask you as a doctor, I mean, the way I've described this, I said, you know, the whole theory behind a vaccine, as you're talking about, you know, smallpox or something like that, is to give you a dead or weakened version of something so that your body can be trained to identify, attack, and destroy it. Except that we're not doing that. What we're doing is we're turning your body into a manufacturing facility, as Moderna and these other people pointed out to Trump when he had his Operation Warp Speed meeting, and he went around the table and he had everybody answer the questions and, you know, declining time frame. You know, how long is it going to take you? A year and a half. How long is it going to take you? Well, we can do it in a year. How long is it? Well, we've already got the ability to do this. We just have the bodies manufacture this stuff. So this is very different. You're injecting something genetic to make the body manufacture this, right? So that's not at all like a vaccine, right?
Right, and that's why, you know, it shouldn't be surprising to anybody, least of all these researchers, that some people die from the vaccine, and not an inconsiderable number of people. Now, there's multiple reasons that you can die, but they literally are dying of COVID. Keep in mind that, you know, when it first came, when they had the Pfizer vaccine rolled out into Israel, at a time that 12.5% of Israelis were vaccinated, 51% of all the deaths of COVID were in vaccinated people.
Yeah.
Now that tells you that they're dying of the COVID vaccine. They're also, we see this in, I think it's Malta and Albania. You know, Albania, the death rate of both of those countries started going down to zero towards the end of the summer here. And then Albania stayed at zero because they're not vaccinating people. Malta is one of the most vaccinated nations, and the death rate from COVID is going way back up. You know, it shouldn't be surprising that that's happening, because you're overwhelming people's bodies, especially older people. That was what the Israelis found, that if you were over 65, your chance of dying of COVID was 40 times more if you took the vaccine.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Because your immune system can't handle it.
That's right.
And it shouldn't be a surprise, but it seems like these guys are surprised by many things.
Well, and as they pointed out, there was a document that was released out of Japan showing that the biodistribution was significant. It went all over the body, that these spike proteins accumulated in organs. And the guy who talked about that, the Canadian scientist or medical professional, but he talked about that. So they came after him for talking about that. But you mentioned Albania. I was just talking about a document that showed the non-disclosure agreements that were being demanded by Pfizer with various countries, and Albania was one of them. And they've got guns to all these different countries' heads to hold them harmless, to make them continue to buy the vaccine that they've contracted for, even if they can't deliver it on time, or even if there is another alternative treatment or therapy that comes out that actually cures this, they still have to buy the vaccines. I mean, part of that, I think, is why they continue to push this. But there's also, I think, an element of blackmail of these countries, that you're not going to be, nobody's going to be allowed to travel to or from your country, just as they're locking us down as individuals. They're locking down entire countries, holding a gun to their head and saying, unless you buy our product, nobody's going to go in or out of your country. It's
unbelievable. And they're also demanding sovereign assets from some countries.
Yes, yes.
You know, since when does a pharmaceutical company demand military bases from another country? This mm-hmm. is in, you know, mm-hmm. it tells you what's really going on here. This has nothing to do with a disease. COVID's not a disease. COVID is a takedown. This is an act of war, essentially, against all of us.
It is. It absolutely is. And the other part of this, which you've looked at vaccines over the years and talked about the effects of this, and over the years, we've seen Fauci and the CDC kind of pull the same act each year to try to scare people into getting the flu shot. And now they've got a flu shot that they can compel you to take. What do you think is going to happen in the next couple of weeks in terms of the FDA rubber stamping this and violating their own rules, and then putting this out as corporate coercion?
Well, unfortunately, I'm a little bit depressed now. It looks like it's probably going to go through. But initially, there were FDA regulators that said we're not approving this, which is appropriate. I mean, this is the, you know, if you look at the VAERS report, which is one of the things I've done for America's Frontline Doctors and just on my own. This is the most deadly vaccine program we've ever seen rolled out.
Yes, by a long shot.
By a long shot. Just this year alone, exceeds all the deaths of all the other vaccines over a 31-year period mixed, yes, added together.
Yeah.
So there is no way that they should be doing this. And you know, the VAERS, people can criticize the VAERS vaccine adverse event reporting system, but the point of VAERS was to avoid a kind of thalidomide thing where the incidents were too spread out, so nobody saw a pattern. You're supposed to use VAERS to recognize early and unusual patterns. And boy, howdy, do we have that on almost every front. I don't care what diagnosis you pick, brain bleed, myocarditis, tumors. We're, yeah, seeing an incredible explosion of tumors because we know, and they've admitted this, that to get you to take in these RNA, these genetic agents, which, by the way, we now know the name from because of their shedding document we found, they're called viral-based genetic therapies, VBGTs. That's what they call them. And they know about the shedding. They know about a lot of things, and they just didn't bother to tell us. They just let people suffer. But this whole thing, I mean, they knew about this stuff.
It's a huge smoking gun to see the quantity, as you point out, more than they've come together with all the other previous vaccines for the last 31 years they've been looking at this. Already in 6-7 months, we've had more people that have been identified with this. And, of course, those are people that have reported it, so they would have to verify that. But when it is that order of magnitude, you would think that they would start to, and as you point out, we've got a lot of these things very well documented about myocarditis, about blood clots and so forth. Why won't they stop this? I mean, what types of levels have we seen in the past where they would stop a vaccine? How many people would they need to have? Was it 10? Was it 100? Was it 1,000? Was it 10,000 before they would stop a trial?
Well, and that you mentioned that in the past, the European Medical Association in the past, when that H1N1 in 2008, keep in mind, those vaccines got pulled off the market after 53 major events. So we're doing 53 a day plus probably here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
the other issue back then is the EMA was funded by Big Pharma. They changed the definition of a pandemic back then. They used Neil Ferguson to do the modeling. You know, what could be wrong? It's just, you know, what could go wrong here? And then when it fizzled out, and they ended up spending all this taxpayer dollars, all these governments spent all these taxpayer dollars buying all these vaccines and antivirals. It killed a bunch of people. It gave 700 children in Europe narcolepsy that's intractable and debilitating.
Yes.
So what was their conclusion? Their conclusion is quit taking advice from the people that make money on selling you disease. And what are we doing now? We are doing exactly that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you look at Remdesivir and Gilead and that whole sorry story that's come out. But, of course, you know, you're talking about pandemics, and that was Fauci and Slaoui who put that together. And the same pair that's back again. Talk a little bit. Tell people what you know about vaccine shedding, because we've got a lot of people who are very concerned about vaccine shedding. If they don't take the vaccine, they're still concerned about what they're going to get from other people. We've seen indications that this is happening. Tell people what you know about vaccine shedding.
Well, it's a real deal, and it's a big deal because I can tell you what the FDA knew about it. And we kept seeing women specifically would come and complain that their menstrual periods were off, or that older women that were postmenopausal started to bleed. Young women that were premenarche that shouldn't be bleeding start to bleed. And all sorts of then viral syndromes that crop up.
Oh, breaking
so
up. Okay.
Something is coming off vaccinated people. And when we when we asked for help, of course, what we hear from the FDA was crickets. Okay, but it turns out in 2015, they published a circular to their researchers discussing the issues of shedding. And this is what they say. They say it seems to happen before 10 weeks, that you should start checking people from day one and do it for 10 days. And then you should do it weekly until you get 3 negative weeks. And it appears they don't think it's airborne. It's by touch, because they want you to check body fluids. Okay. Huh. And they think it comes off in 2 pulses, but they don't know when those pulses are. Here's the one I like the most. We don't know if it's a genetic. We don't know what comes off of the vaccinated people. Is it? It's either maybe it's genetic, maybe it's viral, or maybe it's some kind of recombinant new thing we don't know. So they just let this loose on the world, on all these people, with a potentially Frankenstein recombinant shedding thing that we don't know. And I will tell you, too, when you look at this, and they told you to protect certain people like pregnant women, neonates, elderly, and people with immune compromise. But did they tell us that? Of course not. No. They let a lot of people be damaged, and they pretended they didn't know, but they did know.
Well, it really reminds me, I've seen a lot of people promoting this, and I know some of the people have advocated for it, people like Franklin Graham and stuff. He's like, this is just wonderful, or Al Mohr. This is like the Manhattan Project. And it truly is like the Manhattan Project, where we have Oppenheimer look at it and say, you know, I have now become death or whatever. Or as they're talking about what could possibly happen, if we set off this nuclear bomb, do you think it might set off a chain reaction that would completely burn up the entire atmosphere? I don't know. Let's try it. I mean,
let's try it. Let's see.
We see this over and over again from people. I've talked about this all of my life. What I see in the scientific community and the engineering community, where there's this total disconnect from the consequences, the unknown consequences of something, this recklessness that is there simply because we've got a problem we'd like to solve in the engineering community, the people who are actually doing the science, or the people who are running the whole thing because they got a lot of money they want to make. They don't care. They shut this whole thing down. It's absolutely amazing to see this type of thing happening. So you believe that this, or at least they are saying that it might be associated with touch, and that there is a critical 10-day window after the vaccine. Is that correct? That we could know?
Well, there's probably a 10-week window. 10-week window. My impression talking to patients, and this is, I think, other people that I've talked to as well, you don't seem to get it by going into the grocery store. You have to have somebody either in your household or you're in a small office where people are vaccinated around you, that kind of thing. Children, I know school nurses were reporting that unvaccinated children were becoming sick when they go back to school and they're surrounded by all these vaccinated people. You know, so I think that's the problem. And here's the other thing that's, I think, one of the potentially biggest, you know, tragedies here. You know, there's all this shaming going on saying, oh, if grandma doesn't get the vaccine, she can't come see the grandchildren. Now, we know from the Karolinska Institute and various other people is that grandma was never at risk to her grandchildren because children don't get sick and die from this.
That's right.
They have an immune system that is just on high burn. And vice versa, children don't transmit to grandma because they wipe the thing out so quickly. They're not little fomites. They're not translating this to anybody. They're not giving it off. So that was never a problem. But now grandma gets vaccinated. And what do we discover from the Japanese study that you mentioned? Well, we discovered that this the carrier molecule that was used to put the genetic material in, it is taken up in the ovaries 65 times more than in skeletal muscle. Wow. In other words, it seems to be targeting the ovaries. Now, it's a potential now that grandma takes the vaccine because she's trying to be safe for the grandchildren and the kids demand it. Now she goes over, visits her 10-year-old granddaughter and renders her sterile for the rest of her life.
Wow.
You see, that is a, and I'm not saying it happens, but this is kind of unknown that should have been worked out before they released this on the world. Wrong about this, it's a nightmare.
And we've had a lot of warning about this for a very long time. Dr. Michael Yaden and others have been talking about this. And, of course, you know, they were poo-pooed and censored and ridiculed and mocked. But this is the reality of what's happening with us. You mentioned tumors. And that's something that I hadn't talked about. I had talked about the fact that when you look at certain viruses and the relationship to eventually leading to cancer or something like that, because it's taking over the cell, it's taking over its reproduction methodology, and how do you stop this propagation? Is that something that is involved in this? Is why we're starting to see tumors? What are you seeing in terms of tumors now? Because I'm familiar with the blood clots, the myocarditis, the other issues. Talk to us about tumors.
Well, let's first say that they had to put some, they admitted that they put code into this RNA or DNA that would dumb down your innate immune system in order for you to accept the genetic agent. That without that, you would just chew it up and it wouldn't work. So they actually put some coding in there to dumb down your innate immune system, which, by the way, we know is if you get COVID and you would not normally have possibly lifetime immunity, you take the vaccine, you wipe out your natural immunity.
Wow.
Well, in part of that, you're wiping out your ability. You know, we all have viruses and we all have tumor genes in our DNA. And now that is becoming, those are becoming expressed. We see people having, you know, shingles break out or different types of viral exanthems, viral rashes break out because they've lost the suppressive, your body's normal suppression of those genes.
That's right.
And that's what also is allowing cancer to break out. Now, I get people periodically, doctors that are getting a conscience from the big universities contact me, and I've heard from a number that they're seeing tumors that they, you know, normally wouldn't see in these numbers. You know, like one person told me that, you know, he normally would see two of this particular kind of lymphoma over, he saw two in 20 years, and he's seen over 20 in the last 6 weeks. I mean, that kind of thing's happening. Wow. And brain tumors.
And the spike crosses the blood-brain barrier, the protein spike that you're manufacturing. Yeah.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing is, the actual criminality here is there's two populations. It's easy to get lost in the big numbers and all the big population data, but let's just look at two groups. One is there is no moral world in which it's beneficial to vaccinate children with these vaccines, because
that's right.
Children just are not at risk, and now you're putting them at risk. We're killing more children than COVID did. And the second group is our military. You know, in 2020, all services combined, they only had 20 deaths from COVID. I mean, the military is young, healthy, robust people. They are not going to go down generally from this. And I told a long, long time ago, I told a retired general, I said, you know, if you don't vaccinate anybody in 3 months, I'll guarantee you you'll still have a standing army. But if you vaccinate everybody, I don't know. And that's what's happening. So now we're vaccinating the entire military, apparently. And we're over like 50%, I think, in the Army and the Navy. We already have had over 80 cases of myocarditis with a 66% five-year mortality. So that means we are killing more people in our military than COVID killed.
And I want to focus on what you just said there, Dr. Mayer. Let me focus on what you just said there, a five-year mortality, because a lot of these people say, it's myocarditis. We just bring this healthy 18-year-old football player in. He was in the hospital for several days with a heart attack, but he'll get over it. It'll be fine. No, I said, you know, they're going to have this heart damage forever. I mean, this is like scarlet fever or something like that, where you have you have your heart damaged as a child. It's going to be with you forever. And you're talking about a five-year mortality rate? Five-year.
And another one is same principle, pulmonary hypertension, which is also fatal eventually. You know, Dr. Huff in Canada has pointed this out. He tested his people that had been vaccinated. And Dr. Huff's a family doctor who works on an indigenous tribal city, basically. And he knows his patients, you know, good old-fashioned medicine. And he noticed that they're losing their stamina. Somebody that used to be able to walk 2 miles now can only walk half a block. Wow. So he started testing people after the vaccine, and he found that they had what's called a positive D dimer, which is a test that looks for ongoing, not old, but current clotting. So these are people that don't have macro clotting. They're not having big arteries clot like pulmonary embolus or brain clot. These are the microvasculature in your lung and in your heart, and you don't recover that completely. So it's damaging these microvascular, these little clots, and that's going to lead to pulmonary hypertension and other problems.
And
so
that doesn't show up on an MRI, as he pointed out. It's something that only shows up with the D-dimer test. And I know when I first saw that article, there'd just been a case coming out, I think it was Italy, of a young girl who went and she immediately got headaches, severe headaches. She goes in to the hospital a couple of times, and they don't see anything within the scans. And the third time she goes back, it's like, whoa, the massive blood clots everywhere. They send her to an emergency room. She dies within 24 hours, and the surgeon who attended her, who'd been practicing for decades, says, I've never seen anything like these blood clots.
Right.
Yeah, because it got bigger. Right. But even if they don't get bigger, even if they stay smaller, it's going to have problems with your pulmonary system, cardiac system, right, is what you're saying.
Right. There are multiple stages of potential mortality here, and we are just starting down that road.
And that's the thing, so, you know, when we look at the other aspect of this, when we look at the VAERS database, when we look at past vaccines and adverse events, it's something that is typically doesn't show up right away. It takes quite a while for it to show up. And that's why the other thing that's so astounding about this, besides the magnitude, it's how early it's manifested itself. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. From the beginning. I mean, one of the things that this has in it is polyethylene glycol, which has never been, you know, all of the parts here also are unique. They've never been used in humans before. Mm-hmm. So not only is the whole technology of the RNA or the DNA not been used, also many of the constituents have never been used. And so one of the things we found out right away is that people had 10 times the rate of anaphylaxis, a sudden histamine-mediated, allergic reaction to the vaccine that dropped them. We've seen some pictures of those people.
Yeah.
And I know that I got a call the other day from police in Oklahoma that had two people die in a Walgreens or a Walmart pharmacy just within 24 hours getting the injection.
Wow.
You know.
And that's all covered up. That's all poo-pooed and shoved away. There's nothing to, even when it happens immediately. You know, I can understand when you got an actor like Bob Odenkirk and they say, well, it was 4 months ago. He's really healthy. He just had a heart attack and say, that's kind of suspicious, but it was 4 months. When this happens within 24, 48 hours, how do they get away with just pushing this? And of course, it is a vast conspiracy of the media to cover this up and to shut down anybody who talks about it, isn't it?
I know. And, you know, how many people by Christmas of last year knew somebody dead of COVID? In your close family or friends. Mm-hmm. But we all know people now that have died who are family or friends from the vaccine.
Yes.
And I've seen things, you know, Guillain-Barré is ascending paralysis. And as a spine surgeon, I got consulted one day to see somebody that had, they thought she had back pain and leg weakness. But by the time I got to see her, she literally couldn't open her eyes, couldn't open her mouth. And it was Guillain-Barré, very severe, called the locked-in syndrome. When you're mentally there, but you can't move anything. And
oh my!
It's horrible. And it turned out it started a week after the vaccine. Now, again, I actually studied neurology at the Queen Square Institute in London for 8 weeks. I was in an 800-bed hospital of neurologic patients. That was a disease we read about for our boards and never saw.
Yeah.
And then as the flu vaccine came in to be implemented, we started seeing it, but it still was pretty rare. You'll know a nurse that knew somebody that, you know, took care of somebody in the ICU or whatever. But this was my first really serious case like this that I saw. And I've seen a second one since that. So all of this stuff is becoming magnified. There's no hiding this. It's going to be an avalanche of disaster quite quickly, I think.
Yes. First time I ever heard of Guillain-Barré syndrome was back in the 1970s when we had the swine flu thing and when 60 Minutes was actually doing journalism. And, one of the ladies who was affected by that, you know, was Guillain-Barré syndrome. Is that what was involved? I keep thinking about that lady who was in her late 30s. It was there was an event that's put on by Ron Johnson and a former all-star football player from the Green Bay Packers. And the football player's wife was developed like MS symptoms, multiple sclerosis symptoms from the vaccine immediately. Everybody would shut this down. They started putting together a website where they would tell people's stories. And so he got together with Ron Johnson and they had an event. And one of these ladies, she was like in her late 30s. She's black and she had taken the vaccine in a couple of days. Her legs just gave out from under and she hasn't been able to feel anything in them whatsoever. Is that Guillain-Barré syndrome or is that something different?
That's probably Guillain-Barré. Yeah. That's probably Guillain-Barré.
Yeah.
It starts in the legs and then that's why they call it ascending paralysis. It goes up the body sequentially.
Oh, so it could get worse. It could.
Unfortunately, this can always get worse.
Now, you know, we've seen, as you pointed out with pandemics, we saw a lot of cases that were horrific about narcolepsy, and I've reported about just how severe that is. People look at it, it's like, oh, okay, you fall asleep. And it's like, no, you fall asleep all the time, and so you can't do anything. You can't drive a car. You can't have any kind of a life. And they've got people, some of the young people who got that, and that showed up, first of all, in the youngest, now in their mid-20s, committing suicide because it's just taken away their entire life. But also they had catalepsy, where you just kind of freeze, and, you know, we've seen that in the stories of Edgar Allan Poe, somebody being afraid they're going to be buried alive because they just don't respond to anything. Is that something that is starting to show up with catalepsy and narcolepsy? Are those types of things starting to show up with these Trump shots?
I know about the narcolepsy. I don't know personally about the catalepsy, but I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. I mean, in general, when you look at the data bank or the what the government compensation board pays out over time for vaccine injuries, the biggest payer has been up until now been the flu vaccine. And it falls into two categories, neurologic categories and autoimmune type disease. And that's, so it shouldn't be surprising. That's what we're seeing here. It's consistent, but out of, much, much worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's much, much worse.
And we've never seen in any of these other vaccines, we've never seen anything that really kind of attacks the circulatory system and the heart. This is pretty new for this Trump shot, isn't it?
Well, I guess we've seen it, but it's been rare. You know, mm-hmm. I looked, like I say, I went back and I looked at various diagnoses. Like one of them is cavernous sinus thrombosis. That's the one that young lady had that you mentioned, and the neurosurgeon took her to the operating room and opened it up, but couldn't save her. It's a very rare disease that for most people, we go through our whole medical career, we don't see it. And it involves the big vessels of the brain getting clotted. Well, if you go back, I went back on multiple diagnoses, and I went 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and then 2021. And if you do it for that disorder, it goes something like this. It goes 0001040. You know, and that was way a long time ago. Now it's over, I think, 160 cases of cavernous sinus thrombosis.
Wow.
When you look at least worldwide. So that's what you see almost everywhere. It's just nothing huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah, there was a French epidemiologist, and she went through country by country in different all the different regions of the world, you know, going to the Middle East, going to Africa, going to Asia, Europe, Latin America. And she, country by country, she showed how, you know, you'd have a rise in COVID diagnosis, and then they would introduce something like ivermectin or whatever, drop to zero. And then they introduce the vaccines, and it just goes straight up like a spike. And right. This is happening everywhere. Why, you know, again, it's the media that is doing this. And, of course, we're seeing over the weekend big protest in the UK at the BBC offices, another protest in Italy at a couple of large newspapers, because people realize that they have become the handmaids of this propaganda. They're not fooled by this. I mean, the people lived under the Soviet Union. They were not fooled by Izvestia and Pravda. They knew they were being lied to. People now know we're being lied to. What do you think is the best thing that we can do to try to get this information out? I mean, is it putting together, as that football player did, a website where, you know, we can start collecting people's testimonies about what happened to their lives so we can put a face on it? Because, you know, statistics, as Stalin said, is just a number, but a personal story is a tragedy. The other side used this in a very lying way, you know, finding people who had leukemia and saying, you know, this it's buried in the story that's leukemia, but they make it look like a young person died from COVID that was an athletic soccer player. And so they knew that it was personal stories. Perhaps, what do you think? Is that perhaps the best way that we can do this, to tell people personal stories?
Oh, I absolutely think personal stories are the way to go, in addition to data. But here's the problem I think we're up against is the fact that that this is a war. We have to stop.
Yeah, that's right.
I tell people, you know, if you think you're fighting a virus, you're going to act like a victim. If you think you're fighting a war, then you're going to act like a warrior. And the reason this is so important is there's so many people that still think the world is just like it was 2 months ago or 2 years ago. And it's we're like the people living in Sarajevo, that one day they had a world-class city, and the next day, if they weren't paying attention, stepped out of their house, they got struck with a bullet.
Yeah.
People are unaware, and the paradigm has changed, and we have to stop thinking of this as a disease, because this is a war against you, against your children. They don't really care I think they almost don't even care if they take the pharmaceutical companies down with them. This is a killing program, and once you get that in your head, then you won't be fooled by all this. But the intelligence services own the media.
That's
I mean,
right.
and
That's
they
right.
own the fact checkers.
That's
you know.
Right.
Fact-checking is not something a normal person does. They just put out the truth. But if you see the same thing coming out by false, that's an intelligence program. And that's what we're dealing with. So, I mean, thank goodness for you guys in the alternative media, and that's the only way it's getting out. But I think people are waking up to it. What we need to not let happen is the bullying and shaming of the unvaccinated, because that could take off, in my opinion. I mean, we're close to the yellow star.
Yes.
If you cannot let that happen.
And that's right.
And it's scary that you see people writing things like on Twitter or whatever that they claim to be worried about humanity, and yet they're willing to put unvaccinated people up against the, you know, the gully and shoot them.
That's
I mean,
right.
That's literally one of the tweets I saw. It's terrible.
And I think that's where we are right now. There's a big propaganda campaign to demonize the unvaccinated. And I just, before you came on, I talked about the Green Zone paper that came out by the CDC back in July, where they already talk about their determinate camps and for people who are a threat to society, how they're going to isolate them, how they're going to have camp guards and everything. So we're talking about concentration camps. They have to get everybody on board with putting people into concentration camps. Don't think that it can't happen here. I mean, we did that in World War II. people that were guilty by association of being Japanese descent. They didn't have anything on them in particular. So we are capable of doing that. Every society is capable of doing that. That's not an aberration coming from the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany. Everybody is capable for it. So we got a massive propaganda campaign preparing the people for it. A year ago, we've got the plan from the CDC about how they want to do this. I'm glad to see that Joe Rogan and Rand Paul are talking about how this is tyranny. We got to resist this and we got to do it now. This is about 514 days too late. And the real issue, as you pointed out, is people not catching up to this rapidly metastasizing war that is happening, not getting their head around what the current status is and how far we're into this and how little time is left.
And it's so important that we take to the streets or do whatever we need to do now while we still can.
Yes.
Because if we don't take it back now, what's going to happen is just like in the Soviet Union, when the Cheka would come and pick somebody up in the middle of the night, because they'll pick you off singly and, you know, come quietly, comrade, don't disturb the neighbors.
That's
what's going to happen. And you can't fight by yourself. You have to fight in a group. And now's the time. And God love the French. I'm pretty impressed with the French getting out there and manning the streets.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't quite expect that of them. But look at Australia. That is for 9 deaths. Australia is literally locking their whole world down. And I don't know if you saw that. And this is the other thing it does. It creates ugly capos. If you saw the security guard in, I think it was New Zealand or Australia someplace, that there was a woman without a mask on, and they had her by the neck, and she passed out. And then they grabbed her by the back of the shirt and the back and her seat of her pants and literally threw her onto the floor, you know, just like a rag doll.
That's right.
And she ended up dying. Yeah. She was ending up being murdered for not wearing a mask. It's the ugliest video you'll ever see. And I just thought, this is where, you know, it doesn't take much, apparently, to get some people to be capos.
Yes, that's
right. And that's the problem.
And it's really rolled out more in Australia than any other place. Again, a place where they've had very few cases, virtually no deaths in a country of over 25 million people. You got 9 people to die of this. I mean, how many other things can you find that are that low a fatality rate? But it really is a program that is rolling out. And what people need to understand in America is this isn't anything that's Australian. This is the same agenda globally. They're just rolling it out at a different pace in different places based on what people will put up with and what they can get away with it. And that's what's really concerning, because now, Dr. Merritt, they're you know, within the next month, we're going to have the FDA rubber stamping this, violating all their rules. I mean, they can give emergency authorization to something, but they can't authorize something according to their own rules without running through a long-term test. Adding a lot of people does not make it a long-term test. And so they're going to violate their rules. They're going to rubber stamp this, and Fauci is out there bragging about how all the corporations are going to run this coercion through. And that was something from the very beginning. The New England Journal of Medicine was saying, we're going to do this through corporate coercion, not through legislation, because we don't want to have challenges to due process. They don't want to have any due process.
Right. And they've committed fraud on so many levels, speaking of the New England Journal. I mean, think of the fraud about hydroxychloroquine.
Yes.
That they actually published false papers. And the data, it wasn't just that they massaged the data, it's that the data was made up by a storefront, non-existent data bank run by a porn star and a science fiction writer. It's almost funny if it weren't so bizarre.
Uh-huh.
But it's dangerous. And the thought that they went to these lengths, I mean, this is something beyond the pale that we've never seen. I mean, we've never seen this kind of fraud at all levels, because this is unrestricted warfare. And, you know, there's a famous book now by the Colonel Zhao and Wang, and from 1999, that talk exactly like that. If you want to read what's going on, you just read that book, because they talk about multidimensional warfare, and the bio warfare and the psych warfare here is just a part of it. This is a part of it.
Yes.
And
we know exactly what they – we know the society that they want. They've been talking about how they're going to – you know, the UN 2030 agenda is when they wanted this in place. And we know that these people have been – we know what their details were. They were always trying to sell it with a climate disaster. They pulled out a different – put in a different justification for that, and then rolled out all their detailed plans. So we know that this is a moment in history where they have chosen to rewrite everything in society and to do it globally, to have a global ID with these vaccine passports. I mean, you've even got people in France as part of these protests this last week, Dr. Merritt, who are fully vaccinated, who are burning their vaccine card because they understand exactly where this is headed. Yeah.
I saw that. That's pretty, like I say, I'm pretty impressed with the French. And the only reason it's happening there and not here yet is because we're armed. It's yeah. that simple. It's yeah. that simple. You know, I mean, I was on an Australian medical, it's called the COVID Medical Network, and this is probably 6 months ago. And it was kind of funny because one of the doctors there asked me, well, what are you guys in America going to do if they mandate this vaccine? And I couldn't take it anymore because it turned out, by the way, I couldn't even mention the word hydroxychloroquine on that program. they could lose their license. So I was trying to talk about the use of this drug, and it was like Voldemort, he who shall not be named. It got to be really absurd. But at the end of time, he asked me, what about you guys in the vaccines? And I finally couldn't take it. And I just said to him, I said, you know, in my area of the country, the state north of me, if you put those guys together, all of the hunters in that state together, they constitute the fifth largest standing army in the world. I don't think you're going to pull those guys out and vaccinate them forcibly easily. And the guy was just about had apoplexy. I mean, he could barely breathe.
But well, you know, that's what you see.
That's why we have the Second Amendment.
And that's why when you – this last election cycle, we had so many Democrats who kept saying, well, we have a military and we can use that against the gun owners. I've never seen a politician go there before to threaten people with gun confiscation and threaten the use of the military. I believe that's another reason why they're putting through this mandatory vaccination to push out soldiers that are not going to be on board with all of this stuff. I think that they're running through these corporate mandates largely because they want to get rid, they want to reduce the workforce because they want to move towards automation and blame it on COVID. So I think there's alternative motives to all this stuff, but it is all being coordinated. It is all coming to a head. My big concern, Dr. Merritt, is the fact that, as you and I know, and as our listeners here know, this is a war. It's on a very short term. They're going to really escalate this to the next level as soon as the FDA rubber stamps this thing. But we've got people who are looking at medical professionals who don't want to take this, and other people in other professions. I mean, we've got enough people that we could have a parallel society, but we don't have any way to truly organize this and to come together, do we, at a local level? Or do you know of any way?
Well, I mean, you know, it turns out that even for the flu vaccine, when polled, 60 to 70% of physicians tried not to take it. Mm-hmm. Okay, the nurses got mandated, but they tried to get out of it. And the other thing that I've discovered, at least in my state, I know, if you're a unionized nurse, you don't have to take the flu vaccine. Mm. So there's already been some unions that are organized, and they are organized, that they are standing up for their union members not taking this vaccine. So there is some point there. But ultimately, you know, how many businesses can live with 30% of the workforce gone overnight?
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, I know that hospitals are on bypass because they don't have any nurses. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. People are retiring. People are not just, it's not so obvious because it's not just the people saying, okay, let's stand together in the street and say no. No, a lot of the older nurses and people are just leaving the profession. They're getting out. They're retiring. Doctors are retiring. And what you're left with is a short work staff that now is going to get shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, you know, this is one of the things you mentioned, doctors with a flu shot getting exceptions. That's one of the things that really makes me angry. You know, we talk about informed consent. I should be able to determine what I want to do with my medical care, get multiple opinions from different doctors and so forth. But when you talk about forcing doctors and nurses to take this Trump shot, I mean, you've got politicians dictating health care to doctors and nurses over their own, you know, personal autonomy, as well as over their own medical knowledge. It's absolutely astounding, isn't it?
It is. And quite frankly, if you are forced to take anything into your body because the government tells you to, then you are a slave to the government. It's
That's
that
right.
simple.
Oh, yeah.
There's
absolutely.
No intermediate.
Oh, yeah. It is a form of enforced slavery. I believe that as they keep pushing on these extended unemployment benefits, these stimulus checks, their plan is that the people who are really hardcore pull off against this, if they have any, you know, they're going to try to keep us off of unemployment, pull that out there as a stick to force us to get the vaccine. So, you know, they're going to put a social welfare net out there, but then there's going to have the conditions tied to that. It's really well thought out. And I think people are going to have to really come to the understanding that it's really up to you to start to prepare for yourself and how you're going to provide for your family, because we're going to have to come together as communities, but we got to start by preparing in the very short term for how we're going to get through this, because they're about to hit us with a hammer as soon as this FDA approval is done. Don't you feel within the next month?
I think so, but I do. Here's a ray of hope that I really like from Patrick King in Alberta that took down Alberta recently. And you know, his story is he was fined $1,200 because he was in a crowd of over 10 people. Well, what he did, and the great news is he's not a lawyer, and because of that, I think he's a gas and oil man, and he just figured out the heart of the beast here really easy. You know, and this is under the category that all politics is local. We've got these great big kind of amorphous lawsuits, and I love what Reiner Fulmisch is doing, but not all of us can participate in something like that. It's huge and it's complicated. But what Patrick King figured out is that the indictment against him was not amorphous. It was written by, what's her name? Henshaw or something like that, the actual chief medical officer of the province. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she personally was prosecuting him. It was her versus him. And so what he did is he demanded that someone demonstrate to him that they have evidence that SARS-CoV-2 has been isolated, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't come up with it. They say, we don't have that information. And they tried to say, well, then it doesn't matter. We're just going to skip that because we don't have that information. He said, no. That is the basis for the whole health rule and all these rules. If you don't have a there, there's no virus. You can't be enforcing all these rules because there's a virus. And so, but he did it at her personally. And I think what she probably, and she rolled. And so she said, yep, we don't have that. And now there's no mask mandate. They opened up Alberta. So there's a way forward, because it's...
It'll be interesting to see what happens in Alberta, because that's where they really come the hardest after a lot of these pastors, you know, in that conservative province.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But I think it's also interesting that it came after her personally, because she's a dictator, isn't she? I mean, you know, this is just the law's in my mouth type of thing.
See, and I think the beauty of that is, the big guys that we don't, the unnamed co-conspirators in the shadows, the big guys with all the money that funded, you know, Gates to fund Fauci, to fund all these universities and everything that brought this thing to us, we may not know their names, and they don't let them be known, but they make sure that these lesser minions are personally responsible. So if somebody goes down, it's not going to be them, it's going to be her. It's going to be people like her and your governor, for example, and, you know, different people. So what we need to do is make them personally accountable for the fraud.
Yes. Yes.
That has a local implication.
Yes, that's very important. Well, that's good news. And on that good news, we will say thank you for joining us. And I'll tell people your website is drleemerritt.com, and that is DrLeeMerritt. DrLeeMerritt.com. Thank you. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you for standing for the truth. I know that that is not something that is easy to do for anyone, and I know how they come after medical professionals who tell people the truth now. It's absolutely astounding, but thank you for standing for the truth in spite of all of the pressure and the shaming and all the rest of the stuff that they throw after you. Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank
Merritt.
You so much.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For inviting.
We'll be right back. Stay with us. Thank you, Dr. Merritt. Are you still there? Okay.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find
at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the heart of rock and roll is beating.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
I want to thank APS Radio for covering this or carrying this program. And again, you can find the news at the upper right-hand corner there. You can click. They've got a lot of different channels, music and other things. Also, Aftermath FM carries us live during the day. If you want to find out all the different places where you can see the live broadcast, where you can find the video archives, and of course, we have the full show up as well as smaller clips every day, four different video platforms, not YouTube, but YouTube, BitChute, Odyssey, and Rumble are where you'll find us. And you can find the links to our channels directly, and you'll need to go there because we're not always there under the name of David Knight, and I won't go into the details of that at this time, but we have different names that we're up at different places. So please go to thedavidknightshow.com where you find the links to the live video, the archive videos, as well as the podcast. I think most people listen in terms of the podcast, so you'll find all that there, as well as links to how you can support the program because we're listener-supported. And that's all at thedavidknightshow.com. We were just talking to Dr. Merritt about the coming mandates and how this is rapidly, shall we say, metastasizing, because that's really what this is, this cancer, this war against us. Look, unless, I think it's going to be less. It's, we're here the 10th of August. They're saying by the 15th of September or sooner, they're going to have the FDA rubber stamp approval. And, of course, it's just a bureaucratic process. And you've heard Fauci over and over again say, oh, yeah, it's approved. It's safe. Oh, we know all this stuff, right? We're just going to dot the I's and cross the T's. And they're going to double-cross us. They're going to violate all of their rules. They're going to do whatever they're told, just like they did whatever they were told by Trump when he said, you give it the emergency use authorization or you're out of there today. And that was widely reported. I certainly do believe it because he thought that was going to be his ticket to getting reelected in spite of the fact that he created a lockdown election and a mail-in ballot scenario that was guaranteed to hand it over to the other side. But, you know, hey, he's Trump. He can do anything he wants, right? So when we look at this, this is going to be coming in within the next 30 days, I believe. And the Pentagon chiefs say they're going to have mandatory vaccines for all U.S. military by September the 15th or sooner if they get the FDA approval. And again, I think it will be sooner. And I think, as I said to Dr. Merritt, I think this is an effort to purge the military of people who will not be on board with going door-to-door and rounding people up and throwing them into a green zone for the CDC. Because they'll say the people who are still going to be there will be people who took it and didn't have any adverse effects. And, of course, that's going to be the case. I mean, you can have whatever it is. It's not going to kill every single person. It wouldn't be very effective if it did that, right? It wouldn't be doing its job. And so you're going to have a proportion of people that are going to not have immediate problems. Their problems will show up later, as many former military can tell you about the anthrax vaccine. It took a while for that to show up as well. They don't show up right away, in spite of what Paul Offit is saying to you, because Paul Offit lies about vaccines, always has. A consummate liar. He's like Fauci. Again, it was just a couple of weeks ago, before the CDC came out with a different story, Paul Offit was saying, well, you know, our vaccines are not absolutely perfect, but they do keep any transmission from happening. So that's why you are going to have to take it to protect me. That's why we have to have everybody in the herd of cattle have to get their vaccines. Well, now they've said just the opposite. Now, Walensky said end of last week, over the weekend, she said, no, the vaccines are perfect. They protect everybody. You can still transmit it with a vaccine. So it's just the opposite. So now you don't really have a case for having the vaccine passports and mandates for everybody. She just destroyed that case if you wanted to approach this logically. But, of course, they will cover that up. They will ignore the logical inference from her pronouncement. Fauci says the FDA could give full approval to the vaccine this month. He's certain it's going to happen. He thinks it will also encourage private entities to mandate the shots. He said, but they're waiting now, you know, until you get an official approval before. And I think when you do see the official approval, you'll get a lot more mandates, said Fauci. Uh-huh. That's right. They are coming, he says. Mandates are coming. And then you have, as I pointed out yesterday, Rahm Emanuel said, don't call it a mandate. Call it a requirement for access. Call it a requirement for living your life. Because, you know, if we change the term right now, that'll buy us a little bit more time. Some people, a requirement? I thought we were talking about, oh, we're not talking about mandates? Oh, that's good. We're not talking about mandates. No, it's a mandate. And even the people that were there on that panel with him are saying, oh, wait, it's still a mandate, right? No, yeah, don't call it a mandate, he says on ABC News. You have Dave Cullum, Cornell chemistry professor, latest person, I guess, to call Fauci a pathological liar. Well, that's a very really good approach because he is somebody who spreads disease, isn't he? He lies like he's got a disease, but he lies to spread diseases. And yes, he absolutely is. Cullum also said, this is where it keeps getting darker. He said it started out as flatten the curve, and that made total sense. At the time, it seemed like the scramble was on to try to understand it, which I gave them credit for. But it was really garbled because everything was just anti-Trump at the time. So now what I see, what is confounding to me, which takes me down really into dark places, I see panic. Panic, authoritarian levels that we vaccinate. It's Soviet-style propaganda. It is coercion. It is bludgeoning. And it is literally bludgeoning in places that we see in Australia and others. And then listen to this last piece here. As we talked about how they're pushing this on pregnant women, they're pushing it on children. They don't care how many people they have that show up with problems. No, no, no. Full warp speed ahead. Still is. He continued and he said, you're telling these women who are told when they're pregnant, don't even drink an effing glass of wine, to get an mRNA vaccine even though there's no studies? Really? He says that shows you the sociopathy of the thing. These people are sociopaths. I think they are psychopaths, quite frankly. CDC Director Walensky, again, as I pointed out, and a lot of people have picked this up, as I said, you know, by saying that you're perfectly, you know, our vaccines are perfect, and they will protect you, but they're not going to stop transmission. Now we're back to the argument that we've always had. Well, if you think your vaccines work, you take it and leave me alone. And that's just it. There is absolutely no reason for coerced vaccines, for vaccine passports. If you don't understand that this is nothing other than a pretext for a global ID, at this point, there really isn't anything that I can tell you more. That's exactly what this is. Gates' ID 2020. You know, this is, everybody in the world needs to have a global ID. Oh, do we? Really? And we need to have passports that they can deny us travel with. Everybody needs to have that. Let's make sure we provide that. It's an act of compassion, says Bill Gates, to do that for people. And, of course, he's a big part of that effort to do that in India, the Aadhaar program. Get your number, and you can get some handouts, you know, and that's what they're doing. They want to make us poor, like the people in India, poor and dependent upon them. And then in order to get a handout, we have to take their number and do everything they say. Meanwhile, the White House is refusing, as they're putting in a restriction. Nobody's going to come in on an airplane from Europe without having a vaccine. Not even a negative test. No, no, no. You must have a vaccine to come in. Well, they're refusing to endorse a vaccine mandates for the illegal aliens that have crossed the border that they are releasing into the U.S. At the same time, the U.K. transport minister says vaccines will be needed for travel forevermore. They've always been looking at ways to put the kibosh on anybody other than them traveling. And look at this guy. Scroll up a little bit so people can see this guy's face. I mean, he looks like he's straight out of Beavis and Butthead, doesn't he? I forget which one is which. But this is this is one of the Beavis and Butthead guys with a hard hat on. Like, yeah, nobody's going to travel. Exactly what this is. No jab, no job. United Airlines becomes the first airline to mandate vaccines for all of its employees. Quebec becomes the first Canadian province to introduce vaccine passports. And yet at the same time, and I think this is a big ray of hope, you have 160 law enforcement officers in just one jurisdiction, saying that they are not going to take the vaccine. They will resign or take early retirement first. There's going to be a lot of people. You're not alone. That's the key thing. That is in San Francisco. You are not alone. There are other people who understand this. And again, part of it is to physically isolate each and every one of us and also make us feel like we're alone, that other people don't understand or see what's going on. And again, I just if you want to get past that, just go to the YouTube propaganda videos. They will. You go to the homepage of YouTube, and they will push these propaganda. Just pick a couple of them and take a look at the comments. Take a look at the thumbs up and the thumbs down. Everybody knows that it is absolute propaganda. You've got several high-profile NFL players, as much pressure as they're being put under. And, you know, they've got a big club to wield over their head because these people are going to leave a lot of money on the table. You know, an NFL player, these guys have trained all their lives to get into the NFL. Very difficult, very small probability they're going to get in there as a professional player. They have a few short years to make a lot of money, and hopefully that's going to last them their entire life if they don't blow it on fancy stuff and drugs. So it's a big deal for them to have those few years of income production that they've worked all their life up to this point have taken away from them if they don't take a vaccine. But you've got some guys there that are hanging tough. And let me just say, again, I was in the middle of talking about what's going on with climate, what's going on with a meatless future. If you don't understand that this is war, if you don't understand that this is the fourth turning, and it truly is, these people understand the cycle of history. They've been planning for this a very long time. They knew that, first it was going to be sometime in the 21st century. Then they got very specific about 2015. The UN, as well as Davos, said it's going to come in 2030. And Strauss and Howe, who talked about the fourth turning, they said, yeah, you know, something will happen about the mid-2000s, about 2007, 2008. Bingo. They said this in the early 90s. They said, and then that'll kick off a process where all of society will be reorganized. All the institutions will be thrown out. And you'll have a new society. And you may have, you probably will have massive economic unrest, and you'll most likely have a war accompanying it as well, because the previous ones that we've had, World War II, Civil War, Revolutionary War, they went back 500 years in American and English history, and then pointed out that now the world is synchronized on the same cycle. And so they said, it'll probably be finished about 2029 or 2030. They know exactly what is happening. And in their world, you know, it's not just that you won't own anything. You will be completely dependent upon them for food. You'll not have any meat. You'll not have any travel. And so as they're starting to lock this down, one of the things that Vox is talking about that I did not get to was to say, well, there's going to be fewer jobs, you know, but they will be safer jobs. And then how are we going to get there? We're going to need a big piece of policy. It's going to be politically imposed on people. One of the things that they liked to point out was they said, you know, a big part of the meat industry are the people who grow the food for the animals. So soy and corn and things like that. And those industries are not necessarily profitable on their own. They're heavily subsidized. And so in the Vox article, they say, well, it's going to make them a little bit hard to deal with because they're not operating on a profit capability. No, it'll make them even easier to deal with because they have to rely on federal subsidies, which can be taken just like that. And so what they're talking about is you already had the Farm System Reform Act that was first introduced in 2019 by Cory Booker and then last year by Ro Khanna, both radical Democrats. They just reintroduced the legislation again last month. It would place a moratorium on new factory farm construction. It would phase out factory farms by 2040. It would create a $10 billion annual fund to help factory farm operators transition into getting out of the business. They don't want anybody in the rural areas. They don't want anybody having a job. They don't want us having meat. And it's going to be done by the federal government. Guess what? Taking away the money. It's always the money.
It's always the money.
That's why I talk about the national executive order. Everything is done by funding it and then pulling the funds back. That's the strings that they control you with, these mafia godfathers that we elect in Washington. It is always the money. And so what they're saying is, we're going to just shut these farms down and we're going to allow farmland to rewild. Just turn it into wilderness. That was always, you've seen the pictures, the maps of Agenda 21 where, you know, the whole, everything except for these concentrated megacities where everybody is stacked on top of each other, packed into these micro apartments and watched and controlled by them. That's their vision for your life. That's what they're going to do to you if you don't stop it. And now is the time. It has never been more urgent than now for you to speak out, to act up, to shout out, to tell every person that you come in contact with what is going on. We've got to wake people up. And time is running out. Prepare for yourself, prepare for your family, but be prepared to speak out, to revolt against this. This is a full takedown of your life. This is going to put us into a dark winter, come this winter, that is going to be a new beginning of a new dark age if we don't stop this. Thank you for listening.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.